Sports is on the air. From Wrigley Field in Chicago, Gillette presents the World Series. Men, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. Good afternoon, baseball fans everywhere. This is Bill Slater with Al Helfer and Bill Corum greeting you for the Gillette Safety Razor Company as the Chicago Cubs and Detroit Tigers get ready for the deciding seventh game in this thrilling 1945 championship series. Gillette is on the air the year-round with on-the-spot reports of leading sports events, including the Kentucky Derby, football bowl games, and similar classics. Gillette also broadcasts the major boxing match of the week regularly every Friday night. And now this afternoon in Chicago, on the shores of Lake Michigan, we await breathlessly the start of this seventh and deciding game of the 1945 series. A series that has been at the same time one of the zaniest, most thrilling, and record-smashing series in a long, long while. Records have been broken in total number of players involved, total number of pinch hitters involved, records smashed in total income, records smashed in the longest game in the point of time ever played, that 12-inning struggle on Monday. And only 36,185 are needed to come into the stands this afternoon to top the all-time attendance record set back in 1926 between the Yanks and the Cards. And three pitchers have appeared in this series, who the first time out were practically invincible but could not come through the second time. Virgil Trucks, Claude Passeau, Dizzy Trout. And then there's been one pitcher who was no good the first time and came back to win the second time, and that's Hal Newhouser. And he's going to try to repeat today. And then there's been Fordham Hank Baroy, who the first time out, yes. The second time, no. And Monday, he came through for his second victory, and Baroy will be trying to place himself in the immortal halls of baseball by striving for his third victory as he pitches for the Cubs this afternoon. This has been the greatest radio hookup in the history of sports radio, with the broadcast going to Rome, to Berlin, to Tokyo, and all around the world, wherever the far-flung outposts of American military might exist today. And each team in this series has been better in the other's park than it has been at home. And One-Eyed Conley, the world's champion gate crasher, hired on as an usher, has tried to keep the owner of the park, Phil Wrigley, from coming into his own park. We've had some of the coldest weather in any of the series, and yet at the same time, some of the most pleasant. And we've had Stanley Hack in that thrilling game on Monday, almost the GOAT with his 2 errors, and then coming through with 4 hits out of 5 to be the hero of the struggle, to drive in the winning run for Chicago in the last of the 12th with 2 outs. And we've had the spectacle of an error being charged against Hank Greenberg in left field, and then later in the evening, along about midnight, retracted by the official scores. So in this particular series, one of the most thrilling of all time, and the first 7-game series since the Tigers battled the Cincinnati Reds in 1940, we have had absolutely everything, and this afternoon is going to be the climax. And now to give you his own inimitable view of what's coming up this afternoon is the great sports columnist and our friend, Bill Corum, looking very sharp today, Bill.
Thank you, Bill. And we're right back where we started in Detroit last Wednesday as far as this series goes. Except, of course, that whatever may happen today, saving the remote possibility of a tie game called Because of Darkness, this is payday. Steve O'Neill and Charlie Grimm led with their aces in that first game in Briggs Stadium and are going to lead with them again in this seventh and deciding game. Al Newhouser for the batting Bengals and Hank Baroy for the clawing Little Bears. Which gives Baroy a chance to tie another World Series record, by the way. If the tall Jersey right-hander should win this afternoon, he will become the second pitcher ever to win 3 games and lose one in the same series. I think that's true. I wouldn't want to bet all the tea in China on it, even if I had all the tea in China, but I believe that grand pitcher of the Chicago White Sox of many seasons back, old Urban the Red Faber, won 3 games in the 1917 World Series and lost one. Of course, Matheson, Jack Holmes, the only pitcher beside Baroy ever to win for both leagues, Stan Kovaleski, Babe Adams, and Faber all have won 3 games in one series. But none except Faber ever won 3 and also lost 1. And that will be Baroy's record if he can come through this afternoon. If Newhouser's arm was in good shape, you'd have to give him a distinct edge over Baroy and most any other flinger around today as well. But we all know that, unfortunately, Bonnie Prince Hal's arm is not in the best possible shape. Indeed, he's expected to have it operated on during the off-season. It's that bad, or so we understand. On the other hand, Newhouser has had 1 day more rest than Baroy. So the best guess is that, like the previous games and the series itself, this decisive one will be a toss-up where anything can happen. And it isn't as if practically everything hasn't already happened. We've had about everything except a triple play, a balk, and a wedding at home plate. I was happy to see the official scorers change their ruling on Hack's hit that won Monday's 12th-inning thriller. If you happen to be listening then, you know how disconcerted and confused I got trying to get the totals of the game straight in my post-game summary. That was partly because I couldn't find on my card where Detroit had more than one error. It turned out that on Hack's hit, the first ruling by the official scorers, Martin Haley, Ed Burns, Henry Salsinger, and Fred Lieb, four of the most competent baseball men around and all eminently fair gentlemen, had been that it was a single for Stan and an error for Hank Greenberg. But it couldn't have been an error for Lank Hack, really. The ball bounced completely and cleanly over his head. The ruling would have made him something of a goat for Detroit, which he definitely didn't deserve to be. On the contrary, he has been one of old Tig's staunchest heroes, if not the staunchest. It happened that sitting here in the radio booth well down the third baseline, Bill Slater, who called the play on Hack's hit, and I were both in the perfect position to watch the ball. And it took practically a perpendicular hop just before it reached Greenberg's hands, which were extended toward it on the ground. By the way, we're so far down the third baseline that we're almost past the big screen back of home plate, which incidentally isn't a screen at all, but a Grand Banks fishing net sent, if my memory serves me, to the elder Wrigley by some friend for his new and beautiful park here. Anyhow, Slater says that it is a very sane thing to have here, but remember, he said it and I didn't. Now, Baroy's record, if it materializes, is not the only one that will be tied, set, and broken in this game. All sorts of new records will fall, but you've heard most of that from Slater's already. The main thing is the game itself. I hope it'll be just half as exciting and pulse-pounding as Monday's sensational Battle Royal. And that the better team will win it, and the series too, of course. It's been a wonderful series, even if it hasn't produced the best baseball ever seen by a mighty long shot. The fans have loved it, as they should, and it's been a real pleasure and privilege for us to bring it to you listeners the best we could, particularly to our boys over and on the seas, in the Pacific, Japan, Europe, on their ships, and everywhere they are. Which reminds me, Harry Roberts, baseball writer for the Chicago Daily News and a lieutenant in the Navy, brother helper, flew in from San Francisco this morning to see the final game and root for the Cubs. He just landed from the carrier Ticonderoga, straight from Tokyo, and he heard the broadcast of the other games at sea by shortwave. And that's that for now, fans, but I'll be back to give you a quick summary of the highlights when the game ends.
Fans, there's little doubt that Americans want a hard peace for those guilty of starting the war. But none of us wants a hard peace for the millions of destitute men, women, and children in allied countries freed from Axis enslavement. Yet without our help, cruel and bitter times lie ahead for the folks who are still fighting famine, pestilence, and cold. One of the chief hopes for their salvation lies in the National War Fund, a federation of 19 major relief and welfare agencies. These agencies are over there distributing blankets to people who have shivered for years, cod liver oil for undernourished children, seeds to replant farms, medicine to fight plagues, and they are doing many other life-saving tasks. So when you're asked to donate to the Community War Fund, dig down deep, please. Be generous in victory. Now here are the Detroit and Chicago batting orders as we come up to just a few moments before the start of this thrilling seventh and final game of this Fight 45 series. For Detroit, here is the batting order. The leadoff hitter, as usual, will be the shortstop, Jimmy Webb. Batting number two will be the second baseman, Eddie Mayo. Batting third will be the center fielder, Roger Kramer, C-R-A-M-E-R. Batting fourth will be big captain Hank Greenberg, the left fielder. Batting fifth will be Roy Cullenbine, the right fielder. Batting number six will be Rudolph York, the first baseman. Batting number seven, Jimmy Outlaw, the third baseman. Batting number eight, Paul Richards, the veteran catcher. And batting ninth, young Prince Hal Neuhauser, the talented lefty who is a Detroit boy all the way. So there's the batting order for the Detroit Tigers. For the home-standing and embattled Chicago Cubs, they will bat in this order. The leadoff hitter will be Stanley Hack, the third baseman, who is the hitting star of the series up to this point. Batting number two for Chicago, second baseman Don Johnson. Batting third, left fielder Harry Lowry, L-O-W-R-E-Y. Batting fourth, the star first baseman, Phil Cavaretta, Chicago boy all the way. Batting number five, center fielder Handy Andy Pafko, P-A-F-K-O. Batting sixth, the big right fielder, Bill Nicholson, N-I-C-H-O-L-S-O-N. Batting number seven, the redoubtable catcher, Mickey Livingston. Batting number eight, the veteran shortstop, Roy Hughes. and batting number ninth and trying for the Iron Man stunt. In the 1945 series, Fordham Hank Baroy, the New Jerseyite who is just now completing his warm-up pitches down in front of the Cub dugout down the third base line. Here are the umpires, Art Passarella of the American League at the plate, Jocko Conlon of the National League at first, Billy Summers of the American League at second, and Lou Jorda of the National League at third. Now that's the way the scene is set at this particular moment, and while we're waiting for the umpires to come to home plate to confer with the rival managers, Jolly Charlie Grimm and Stout Steve O'Neill, we're going to pause 10 seconds here for station identification. Remember, men, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is WGN Chicago, serving the Middle West.
In the huddle between representatives of the two clubs and the umpires, now going on down at home plate, which is, of course, always the part of the last moments before a game begins, Phil Cavaretta, the playing captain of the Chicago Cubs, is representing Chicago, and Steve O'Neill representing the Detroit Tigers. Now the umpires are fanning out. Incidentally, the alternate umpires here are Charlie Berry of the American League and Lee Ballenfant of the National League. They just dress and sit in the dugouts every day, and it's a very sweet job. Steve O'Neill is moving down to third base now, where he's going to coach, and the Chicago team is coming on the field. Art Mills will coach at first for the Detroit Tigers. And now, with the Cubs out on the field in their proper defensive order, the whole crowd, and it's a throng, rises to its feet. Heads are bared, hands snap up a right-hand salute on the part of the military personnel here, and arm in hands, band plays the national anthem. Most glorious flag that ever rode the breeze flies high from the flagstaff in deep center field with bank flags of the United Nations on its right and on its left. Everything is all set for the start of this seventh and deciding game of this great 45 series. And all set, looking very sharp and feeling very sharp, is our colleague on these broadcasts who will bring you the first 4.5 innings of play, big handsome Al Helfer.
Well, thanks, Bill. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Rather chilly here in Chicago, as Bill has already told you this afternoon. But nevertheless, we're expecting a humdinger of a ball game. This seventh consecutive World Series that Gillette has brought you, it goes down to the seventh and final game of the entire series. And I think that Ed Wilhelm, who is sitting over here to our left, is probably just as anxious as everyone else here in the stands and in the radio booth to see this ball game get underway. Also very anxious this afternoon is Hank Baroy. I talked to the Fordham Ghost just before the ball game started, and he wants this one. And actually, so does Hal Newhouser. We spoke briefly with him, too, just before we came up from the playing field up to the radio booth. And these two pitchers will be out there, and as the boys in the trade say, they'll be bowing their neck this afternoon to try to get this final win to put their team up on top. The umpires, as given you by Bill Slater, are correct. Passarelli at the plate, Conlon at first, Summers at second, and Jorda at third. The lineups, as given you by Bill, are intact also. And we should like to pass this on at the start of this ball game. That the Chicago Cubs, as far as batting is concerned, are out-hitting the Detroit Tigers with a team percentage, as they field right now, of .288, while the Detroit Tigers have a percentage of .202. And Skeeter Webb, who is hitting at .174, the Detroit shortstop, is standing in right now, hitting right-handed. Baroy pitches him, and it's taken on the inside for ball one. So this ball game, the seventh and final game in the 1945 World Series, has now gotten underway here at Wrigley Field in Chicago. Roy throws again, and there's a high curve on the outside for ball two. So Hank has gotten behind now to the Detroit shortstop. Two balls, no strikes. The outfield playing straight away and not very deep on Skeeter Webb. Roy throws another curve in there that's good for a strike. And now it's 2-1. Webb has had four hits and 23 at-bats here in the World Series of 1945. He takes the next pitch, and it's right through the middle for a called strike, and that's 2-2. Two balls, two strikes. The first hitter up for Detroit here in the very top half of the first inning. Roy kicks, twists, throws a high curve, and almost got away from Livingston. That's ball three to Skeeter Webb. 3-2. Agberoy on the mound for Chicago. His battery mate is Mickey Livingston. Roy throws 3-2. Webb swings on it. There's a clean base hit through the hole between first and second and into right field. And Skeeter Webb opens the top of the first inning with a single to right field. And that, incidentally, in the series is hit number 19 off Roy. Hit number one off him this afternoon. The batter now hitting at 217 is second baseman Eddie Mayo of Detroit. He hits left-handed and is opening his stance more of late. He pulls that right foot down toward first base. Sort of guards the plate slightly from behind. Roy checks his runner at first, throws to the plate. Mayo swings on it. There's another clean base hit right through the hole into right field. Skeeter Webb is coming off second base. There's Nicholson's throw into third, but it's not nearly in time. With a hit and run on, Webb moves into third base as Mayo singles behind him into right field. That's hit number two off for Roy, and that's the 20th base hit he's given up here in the 1945 World Series. And Paul Derringer starts hurriedly to get ready down in the Chicago bullpen. So big Paul Derringer is starting to throw very rapidly. Runners at first and third for Detroit. No outs. And here is Doc Kramer, who is tied for the number four spot in hitting honors of all the ball players playing in the series. He's hitting at 333, as is Captain Hank Greenberg. But Kramer, hitting left-handed, is up there now. There's a quick throw to first base just to keep Mayo close. Cavaretta returns that ball to the mound. Now Roy is ready. Checks the plate. Throws to the plate. There's a low curve on the outside, Doc Kramer, for ball one. One ball, no strikes. This is the top of the first inning, and the Detroit Tigers are threatening. Roy checks the runner at first, now at third, then throws a high curve in there that's looped out into short left field. It may fall in for a base hit. It does fall in. Here comes Webb in from third, easily to score. And it's 1-0 Detroit. Skeeter Webb was on at third base. Doc Kramer hit an outside pitch and blooped it out behind third into left field. And Hughes, the shortstop, went back and he couldn't get it. So the first run comes in, and that's hit number three off for Roy. And I think that's going to be all for Hank. Score is 1-0 in favor of Detroit, and that is the sixth run Hank Baroy has given up in the 1945 World Series, and it's definitely an earned run. All six runs he has given up have been earned. And I believe Paul Derringer is going to be called upon right here in the top half of the first inning. Yes, here comes Paul Derringer. So Baroy can't get anybody out in the top half of the first inning. This is quite a spot for the veteran Paul Derringer to be coming into. He'll pitch first of all to Hank Greenberg. That's a pretty tough customer. So Paul Derringer is being called upon. Hank Baroy apparently did not have his stuff this afternoon against Detroit. But Derringer has come on. As far as Derringer is concerned, he's done a little pitching before in this series also. He's pitched 3 2/3 innings. There's a round of applause for Hank Baroy. As far as World Series appearance prior to this year, Paul Derringer has won 2 and lost 4. Derringer pitched, if you recall, for St. Louis, the Cardinals, also for the Cincinnati Reds in the National League. He pitched in the 31 series, he pitched in the 39 series, and his last series was in 1940. He was with Cincinnati then and pitched against these self-same Detroit Tigers. And his series record up until now is 2 wins and 4 defeats. Paul's a grand veteran of the game. Kentucky born and bred, and he's out there right now.
pitch for Chicago. The pitch, as we said, first of all to Hank Greenberg. Now, here's the position in the top of the first inning. One run has been scored by Detroit. We'll review it for you. Webb singled through the hole between first and second and out into right field on a 3-2 pitch. Eddie Mayo came up then, and with the hit-and-run flash, Skeeter Webb was on his way for second. And Eddie Mayo, a left-handed hitter, drilled the ball nicely between first and second and into right to put Webb on at third. Then Doc Kramer came up and hit a fast outside pitch and blooped it into left field for a base hit. And that put Mayo on second and scored Webb from third. So there are no outs here in the top of the first inning. The Tigers lead 1-0, and Greenberg is up at bat. He's had 7 hits in 21 tries here in this World Series. And he's hitting at 333. Tall, right-hand hitter, stands just off the plate. Now Derringer is ready. He'll make his first pitch here in the first inning. Throws, and there's a bunt pushed down to first base. Phil Cavaretta picks it up, steps over on the first baseline, and tags Greenberg out unassisted as the runners move on. So Greenberg, despite the fact he's a terrific slugger, was sent up by Steve O'Neill to sacrifice the boys along, and he successfully did so. Phil Cavaretta taking care of the put out at first base. So Kramer on the sacrifice moves over to second base, and Eddie Mayo moves down to third. Now here's Roy Cullenbine, who is hitting at 250. And they're going to intentionally walk Cullenbine. Despite the fact that he's only had 5 hits and 20 times up, Cullenbine can be a pretty tough customer. So Charlie Grimm has ordered Derringer to put him on. There's the second ball pitched way wide. There's the third one. And now pitch out number 4. That's the 6th time that Roy Cullenbine has drawn a base on balls here in this World Series. That is the first base on balls issued this afternoon. It's given up by Derringer. Now with the bases loaded, Cullenbine at first, Kramer at second, Mayo at third, and one out. The batter up there is Rudy York. It's a 1-0 ball game in favor of the Detroit Tigers. It's tooth and nail here this afternoon, and it will be for the entire length of this ball game. Derringer winds up slowly, delivers, change of pace curve. It's in for a strike. That was a 3/4 overhand curve ball, the change of pace variety, and Big Rudy York took it. Eddie Mayo leads down off third. Kramer steps off second, and Cullenbine moves off first. Derringer pitches. York takes, and it's a low curve under his knees for ball one. One ball, one strike is the count on Rudy York. He's hitting at 208 for his work in the series. He's had 5 hits for 24 official at-bats. We've got a lot of activity down in the Chicago bullpen. Now Derringer pitches. York takes, and there's a fast one in for a strike. Big umpaw just reared back and fogged it in. He looked like the Derringer of old that time. He doesn't throw that high hard one so much anymore. But when he cuts it loose, it's still got plenty of that stuff on it. Down in the bullpen, Claude Passeau and Haya Vandenberg are both getting ready for Chicago. Now here comes the next 1-2 delivery. York takes it. It's a high curve to level off the count at 2-2. 2 balls, 2 strikes. The bases are jammed here with Tigers in the top of the first inning. Only one out. Detroit has once scored, and they lead 1-0. Baroy is out of there now, and Paul Derringer is trying to put out this Detroit fire. Derringer kicks high, the big 6-footer throws, and there's a low sweeping curve on the outside for ball 3. Derringer stands 6'4 and weighs 230 pounds. 39-year-old veteran, and he has plenty of pressure on his shoulders right now. But he's been in spots like this before. Here's the 3-2 pitch to Rudy York. It's a fast curve. It's hit out to right field. It may fall in for a base hit. Nicholson goes over near the line, and it just falls foul. It just falls foul by inches out back of right field. Rudy York almost hit one, but it just veered off and went foul by inches way deep in the corner. So that means that Rudy York is going to have to come back and do it all over again. Paul Derringer is going to have to throw another 3-2 pitch to a very dangerous hitter. That's a tense situation here in the top half of the first inning. The 7th game of the World Series here at Wrigley Field in Chicago. And now the sun is coming out. It's getting a little more brilliant down on the diamond. Still very cool. Quite a bit of wind blowing from behind home out towards center field. Here's the 3-2 pitch. York swings and fouls it off. The count stays at 3-2. In case you just tuned in or just hooked up with us, The score is 1-0 Detroit. One out, the base is loaded, and Rudy York at bat with a count of 3-2, and Derringer has relieved Baroy. He pitches now, and York swings, and there's a high foul up to the right of the plate. Mickey Livingston scoots back, but he can't get it. It's way back into the stands. So the count stays at 3-2 on Rudy York. The Chicago infield playing their normal fielding depth. Of course, they're hoping that Derringer will get Rudy York to hit onto the ground. And that's just the thing that the Tigers do not want to see happen. The outfield is playing very deep to Rudy York. They have a right to do so because he clouts a long ball. He gave evidence of that down at Briggs Stadium in Detroit. He's probably hit the longest ball in this entire series. He hit that ball well over 400 feet and it was caught. Down in the bullpen for the Chicago Cubs, still throwing very hard, Claude Passeau and High Vandenberg, just in case Derringer has any trouble here in trying to get Detroit out at the top of the first inning. We'll go over the situation for you. At third base is Eddie Mayo. At second base is Doc Kramer. And at first base, purposely walked, is Roy Cullenbine. So the bases are jammed. Score 1-0, Tigers. And Derringer's ready to throw 3-2 to Rudy York. Down at rides, York swings on it. There's a high infield pop-up. Down at shortstop is Stanley Hack floating in front of Hughes. And he takes it for the out. Well, that's the second out now for Detroit in the top half of the first inning. And Paul Derringer came down behind the plate to back up that play just in case. And he picked up Mickey Livingston's mask and handed it to Mickey and patted him on the back as if to say, you helped me get him out of that one. Well, that was the all-important out as far as Derringer was concerned. Still, he's not out of the woods by a long shot. The bases are still loaded here with Tigers in the top of the first inning. And Jimmy Outlaw, who is hitting at 167, is standing in. Outlaw, a right-handed choke hitter, stands deep at the plate, and the little fellow sort of crouches over slightly from the waist. Derringer pitches him, and Outlaw takes. And there's a little curve at his knees for ball one. Mayo takes his lead off third. It's a generous lead. Derringer's paying him no mind. He's busily engaged pitching to Outlaw, the Detroit third baseman. Outlaw's had 4 hits and 24 at-bats in this series. Derringer pitches him, and there's a curve ball that slides off on the inside for ball two. The outfield has stepped up a couple of steps to Outlaw. He doesn't hit a particularly long ball. He's more of a punch hitter. Al Derringer, big 6'4" right-hander, delivers, and there's a high curve right off the point of the chin of Outlaw for ball three. 3 balls, no strikes. Derringer visits that rosin bag. As far as he's concerned, there's an awful lot riding with every pitch he makes. Down comes the next one. Outlaw takes it, and it's on the inside for ball four, and that forces in Mayo from third. That's the second walk given up by Derringer, but he lost this man. He walked Cullenbine purposely. However, that run is charged against Baroy. So it's a 2-0 ball game now in favor of the Detroit Tigers. Paul Richards comes wandering up to the plate to do a little hitting for Detroit. He's the eighth man to come up here in the top half of the first inning. Cullenbine moves over to second, and Kramer takes his station at third as Outlaw goes down on the walk and takes his position at first. The bases are still loaded, still 2 outs. Score Detroit 2, Chicago nothing. Derringer winds slowly, kicks high, throws a fast curve that's low under the knees of Richards for ball one. This tall Texan stands almost straight up and down at the plate and hits him right-handed. He stands deep just as far back as he possibly can. He's hitting at 133, 2 for 15. He swings on the next pitch and falls down as he foul tips it. Well, the count on Richards now is 1-1. 1-1. The outfield fans slightly around the left, and out in left field, Peanuts Lowry is playing deep to Paul Richards. Hughes at shortstop has come down a couple of steps toward the foul line, the left field foul line, and he's playing deep in the hole at shortstop. Derringer throws. There's a fast one swung on and fouled back into the screen for strike two. So the count on Richards is 1-2. There are 2 outs on Detroit here in the top of the first inning. They lead the Cubs by a margin of 2 runs as the score stands. Detroit 2, Chicago nothing. Derringer in a lot of trouble, not of his own making, but nevertheless he's had to shoulder the burden. He's out there. He throws 1-2 now, and Richards swings.
There's a fly ball going deep into left field. It may drop in and it may not. It is in fair territory, drops in the corner. In comes Kramer to score. Cullenbein is also coming in. Outlaw comes around and he too scores. It's a double for Richards. Well, three more runs come piling in for Detroit here in the top of the first inning. Detroit has a total now of five. The man at the plate is Hal Newhouser, hitting left-handed, and he takes the first pitch high for ball one. Richards leads down off second base. Derringer pitches, and there's one swung on and missed for a strike. So the count on Newhouser is 1-1. Newhouser has just been announced with a count of 1-1 on him. He swings on the next pitch and hits a foul ball out back of left field, and it falls away into the seats. So the count on him now is 1-2. Paul Richards just hammered in three more runs for the Tigers, and they lead 5-0. Derringer throws. There's a low curve under the knees of Newhouser for ball two. That makes his count 2-2. Hal hitting left-handed, standing very deep at the plate, sort of guarding it from behind. Four runs have been scored off Baroy and one run off Derringer. Now Paul is ready. Down comes the next pitch, and Newhouser hits one down to second base. Johnson comes up with it at second, throws to Phil Cavaretta, and that's all for Newhouser, going out 4-3. Well, we'll count up the damage now in the first inning as nine men came to bat for Detroit. A total of five runs on one, two, three, four hits. There was one man left, and there were no errors. So at the end of the top of the first inning, Detroit leads in the seventh game of the World Series, 5-0. And now, men, before this final game of the 1945 World Series goes any further, let me point out that you look better and feel better when you shave the smooth, refreshing All Gillette way. Yes, when you soften your whiskers with Gillette shaving cream, lather or brushless, and whisk them off with today's Gillette Blue Blade in your Gillette razor, your face looks and feels its very best. You see, Gillette shaving creams are thoroughgoing, fast-acting beard softeners that hold abundant moisture and stay wet on your face. What's more, today's Gillette Blue Blade has the sharpest, smoothest finished edges that ever sailed through a fellow's whiskers. Working together, they give you the swellest shaves of your life. Ask your dealer for Gillette brushless or Gillette lather, a quarter, and shave this easier All Gillette way. Remember, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. Now for the last half of inning number one. It's a 5-0 ball game in favor of the Detroit Tigers as they went out and got themselves five right in the very first frame. They got themselves five runs on four hits. Three hits coming off Roy and one, a damaging double, coming off the offering of Derringer. Now Stanley Hack gets a round of applause as he steps up to the plate to be the first Chicago Cub hitter. He's leading all hitters here in the series at 440. He takes the first pitch as Newhouser zips a fast one in there for a strike. Hack, hitting left-handed, stands deep at the plate. Newhouser takes his sign from Paul Richards. Pumps once. 24-year-old left-hander delivers, and Hack hits the ball down to third, and it's foul just outside of the bag. So the count on Stanley Hack is no balls, two strikes. Hack's had 11 hits for 25 at-bats here in this series for a percentage of 440 as he stands at the plate this red-hot second. If he gets another base hit, he's going to be able to tie a record of long standing. We'll tell you about that if and when it happens. He takes the next pitch, and it's a curve in there for a called strike three, and Hack knew it. So the first man Newhouser faces, he strikes out here in the last of the first inning. And that's strikeout number one for Newhouser this afternoon. That's strikeout number 13 for him in his 11 and two-third innings pitched in the World Series. Now Don Johnson hitting at 167. It's right-handed, standing in. He takes a look at the first pitch, and it's a high curve up above the letters of the shirt. That's ball one. One ball, no strikes. Newhouser gets ready. Gunfall throws a fastman in there that's hit out over shortstop and out into left center field. Doc Kramer chases it, picks it up, but Johnson is on his way to second. Here comes the throw. It's not in time, and Johnson slides, and he's safe at second with a double.
Don Johnson has just gotten his fifth hit on his 25th at-bat here in the series. Doubles to left center field. And Peanuts Lowry, hitting a 280, is standing up to the plate right now. Newhouser delivers him, and Lowry takes a high curve up above his shoulder. That's ball one. Peanuts Lowry, it's right-handed and stands deep at the plate. Legs wide spread apart. Newhouser throws a fast one in there, and Lowry swings and doesn't get it. The one-and-one count now on the Chicago left fielder, Harry Peanuts Lowry. Johnson with his double is on at second base. That is the second extra base blow here in the seventh game of the World Series. Both of them have been hitting the left field. Richards in the first inning for Detroit hit one very nicely down into the left field corner. That double of his scored three runs for Detroit. They lead, you know, right now 5-0. Newhouser checks back at second. Looks at Johnson. Now throws to the plate. Lowry pushes the bat back toward the mound. It's picked up by Newhouser, and he bobbles it for the moment. Picks up, throws, not in time. Well, Hal Newhouser went after Peanuts Lowry's bunt, and by the time he got his hands on it, he bobbled it for the moment. And then too late to first base. So Chicago has runners at first and second. The official score will give us his verdict in a minute. But Al Beck was starting to get ready down in the Tiger bullpen. Now here's Phil Cabaretta hitting left-handed. And an error is being charged against Hal Newhouser. Johnson is on at second and Lowry is on at first. Down it comes. Phil swings on it. The base hit to right field. Johnson comes whistling by third, comes on into score, and Lowry slides into third. Bill Cabaretta teed off on one and smacked it right past Eddie Mayo and out into right field for a base hit. And on the blow, Don Johnson came on in from second to score. And Peanuts Lowry, running on the blow, moved into third base. So now Chicago has runners at first and third, one out, and the score is 5-1 in favor of Detroit. And there's a big conference right now down at the mound with Hal Newhouser. Eddie Mayo is in on that conference. And Paul Richards. And he has asked, has Paul Richards, for a new shin protector. His shin guard has been snapped in this last operation. So he's getting a new one. Time has been called for it. And that off Hal Newhouser, we would like to go back and say, is the second hit here in this ball game. It is the 17th hit he's given up in the World Series, and that is the 12th run that has been gotten off Newhouser. The first one this afternoon. It's a 5-1 ball game in favor of the Detroit Tigers. And the Chicago Cubs are also bearing their claws here in the last half of the first. They're trying desperately to get back into this ball game because it's winner today taking the series. Now standing up at the plate is Andy Pafko, who is hitting a 208. He takes the first curve, and it's in there for a strike. Just sort of automatically call it a curve when Newhouser delivers because he's got quite an assortment. Pafko is hitting a 208, as we said. He has had five hits for 24 at-bats. Pafko swings on the next pitch as the ball hit the short. It's played back to Mayo for one out to throw on to first, two outs. That's the first double play here this afternoon. Andy Pafko hit one down to Skeeter Webb at short. He played it very nicely back to Eddie Mayo for the force out on Cabaretta coming down. And then Mayo whipped it over to first base. And that's all. Well, Chicago scores one time here in the last half of the first inning. One run on two hits. There was a man left, and there was one Detroit error. So at the end of one full inning of play, the score stands
5-1 in favor of the Detroit Tigers as we go into the top half of inning number two right here at Wrigley Field in Chicago. And Paul Derringer comes out of the dugout, moves out to the mound now to start the top of the second inning. But before we get into the top of the second inning, we have just a few moments, seconds as a matter of fact, to pause for station identification. So remember, men, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is WGN Chicago, serving Middle West.
Skeeter Webb here at Wrigley Field will start the second batting around for the Detroit Tigers. Starting off in the top of the second inning. Derringer kicks high and throws, and Webb swings on a fast curve and misses for strike one. Webb got himself a single at right field in the first inning. Derringer pitches left, swings. There's a long fly ball into center field. Andy Papko goes back, still going back, reaches over his head and takes it for the out. A long fly ball to center field. That guy, Andy Papko, can go get him out in that outer orchard. He went back and took it. The batter coming up to the plate now for Detroit is Eddie Mayo. He's had six hits now for 24 at-bats. Hit nicely behind Skeeter Webb in the first inning to move Jimmy around third. Mayo hitting left-handed. Derringer curves him. It's a medium-speed curveball. Mayo ran up on it as if to bunt and then took it. Aldi's bat down off his shoulder and it was outside for ball one. Well, some of the crowd here roaring its disapproval to call of that one. But Mayo didn't attempt to lay that wood on the horse side at all. Derringer comes down with the next pitch. Mayo swings on it, and there's a fly ball to center. Andy Papko backs just one step and takes it for the out. And that's all for Mayo. Clotting one into straightaway center field. So very quickly now, in the top of the second inning, there are two outs for Detroit. And that brings to bat Doc Kramer. Doc hit the first run in here in this ball game with a looping fly ball into left field. It got Webb in from third. So he's had one hit and one try this afternoon. Doc hitting left-handed. Derringer tries a blooper ball in there that floats in and over to Doc Kramer for a called strike. Derringer's been working on that pitch all year. Pretty well has it mastered. He tries it against a knuckler. He threw this time and missed with it just outside. It's 1-1. One ball, one strike. Derringer doesn't throw that knuckler a great many times, but he's got pretty good control of it. Big Paul winds now, kicks high, throws a fastball. It's taken low under the knees. That's ball two. Two balls, one strike. This is the top of the second inning. Detroit, two outs, no base runners, and they lead in this ball game 5-1. Derringer pumps, throws. There's a ball laced very solidly out into right field for a base hit for Doc Kramer. So Kramer singles to right. That's hit number two of Derringer. Hit number five as far as the Detroit Tigers are concerned. And now they have as many hits as they have runs. Well, if five is any significance, the guy coming up to the plate is wearing a big five on the back of his uniform shirt. That's Hank Greenberg. He sacrificed successfully in the first inning, so his pregame batting percentage of .333 for the series remains intact. He's looking for base hit number eight. Derringer curves him, and there's a fast one through there for a strike. No balls, one strike on Hank Greenberg, hitting right-handed. Hank hauls his bat down as if to bunt and takes the pitch, and it's high and on the outside. That levels the count out to Hank at 1-1. One ball, one strike. Kramer leads off at first. Cabaretta straddle on the inside corner, holds him close. Derringer checks his runner, then throws to the plate, and Greenberg takes a high curve. The ball two. Two balls, one strike. High Vandenberg is still throwing down in the Chicago bullpen. Just in case Derringer is going to have any trouble here in the second inning. Greenberg takes another curve, and Derringer thought he had it in, but it was a little low for ball three. Derringer comes down off the mound and starts to beat to plate umpire Art Casarelli of the American League. Derringer still chilling and jawing with Casarelli. Now Casarelli motions him to go back to the mound and pitch. Derringer starts back there, climbs up on the hill. He's a big fellow, this Derringer. He's quite a competitor. The count he has on Greenberg, who's equally big, 3-1. Of course, Hank doesn't weigh quite as much as Derringer does,
But you put them both together on the same side of a teeter board, and they'll hold it down for you. There, Derringer throws quickly to first base, trying to pick off Kramer, but Doc is in time. Now he throws 3-1 to the plate to Derringer, and it's a high curve for ball four. Greenberg is walked. That pushes Kramer down to second. That's the third base on balls given up by Derringer. His control has been responsible for two of them. He was ordered to walk Cullenbine in the first inning. Now the batter standing in for Detroit is Cullenbine. And he was walked purposely in his first at-bat. So he's coming up for his first official turn right now. Runners at first and second and two outs. Cullenbine takes a sweeping curve. It's low and down by his shins. The ball one. Mickey Livingston came up very nicely with that pitch. Now Derringer gets ready. Sights, serves, and the fast one is low. That's ball two. Set the Cubs for you defensively now. Derringer on the mound, Livingston behind the plate. At first is Cavaretta. At second is Don Johnson. At third is Stanley Hack, and at short is Roy Hughes. Lowry is in left field, Pafko in center, and Bill Nicholson in right. Now the runners take their lead as Derringer throws to a nothing. Swung on, beaten down into the ground, foul, and that's strike one. Derringer's ready. Roy started this ball game for the Cubs. He was belted out in the first inning. Derringer has come on, and he's out there throwing now for the Cubs. He's throwing 2-1 to Roy Cullenbine. Two outs and two on here for Detroit in second. Cullenbine swings on a high curve and misses it. Strike two. So the count on Roy Cullenbine, the Detroit right fielder, is two balls, two strikes. There are two outs, two on in the second inning. That's a flock of deuces. Now Derringer's ready. Down he comes with the 2-2 pitch and misses with it high for ball three. Now it's a 3-2 situation. Roy Cullenbine, who is a pretty good clutch hitter. The score is 5-1 in favor of Detroit, as it now stands, but they're threatening here in the second inning. Derringer delivers 3-2, and Cullenbine, swinging on it, fouls it back at first base on the ground. So the count stays right on at 3-2. Steve O'Neill running his ball club from behind third base in the coach's box there. Puts on all kinds of signs. Cullenbine standing outside the batter's box watching him, too. He wants to get everything the boss has to say. Now we're all ready. Derringer throws 3-2. Cullenbine takes, and it's high and outside for ball four. And that is the fourth base on balls given up by Derringer. And the second time, Cullenbine has been walked. So Greenberg moves down to second, and Kramer, with two outs, moves over to third. So Derringer's gotten himself in a little bit of trouble here by his own wildness. The bases are loaded with Tigers in the second, and the batter is Rudy York. The big Kickapoo takes a fast one in there for a strike. That Derringer and that York, there are a couple of fouls about the same size. Fall over his head easily, kicks, throws. Rudy at the plate takes a fast one in there again for a strike. That was poured over the inside corner just above the knees. Derringer looks down at Mickey Livingston. The Chicago catcher sets the mitt up as a target. Here comes the 0-2 delivery. York takes it, and it's just under his knees for ball one. The bases are completely populated here in the second inning. Kramer's at third, Greenberg at second, and Cullenbine at first. There are two away. Rudy York up there with a count of one ball, two strikes. Derringer throws to him, and York sits down into the dirt at a high curve. Came right off the point of his chin. So the count on York now is two balls, two strikes. Derringer taking his time now as he studies the situation very carefully. It's a 2-2 count on Rudy York. Derringer throws, York swings, and there's a ball hit out back of right field, and it falls off foul by about 5 feet. That was a line drive spiked by Rudy York. He hit a high outside pitch and dumped it out back of right field. So the count stays right on to Rudy at 2-2. York's a little base hit hungry. He'd like to get himself a hold of one. Of course, Derringer has other ideas as he gets ready for this next 2-2 delivery. Down it rides. York swings on it and gets just enough of it to tip it foul. It's
scoots back on the ground all the way to the screen. Now, the count on York is 2-2. The count in the ball game is Detroit 5 and Chicago 1. Derringer hasn't waded through the tall grass here yet in the second inning. He's having himself a little trouble. He winds, throws 2-2. York takes a high throw for ball 3. Now it's 3-2. It's gone right down to the wire, and when Mickey Livingston fired that ball back to the mound, Carl Derringer sort of snapped it right out of the air with his gloved hand. He's a little mad at himself out there at the mound right now. The 3-2 count on Rudy York. The bases loaded and 2 outs. We're in the top of the second inning. Derringer throws 3-2, and it's taken by Rudy York on the inside for ball 4. So another Detroit run is pushed across the plate as Scott Kramer comes over to score from third base. The bases remain loaded as Greenberg takes his station at third, and Cullenbine moves down to second. That is walk number 5 and run number 2 given up by Derringer. And the score stands now at 6 for Detroit and 1 for Chicago. And I think that's going to be all for Big Paul Derringer. Yes, he's coming out of there now, and High Vandenberg, another right-hander, is going to come on to pitch for Chicago. So Derringer is all through. He came in and pitched the first inning after Baroy couldn't get anyone out. So he pitched 1 inning and 2/3 of the second. So he's pitched 1 2/3 innings, and he's out of there. This is not Derringer's ball game to lose, should it wind up this way, because he came in with his ball club behind. Now stands, it's Baroy's game. But High Vandenberg is coming on here. B-A-N-D-E-N-B-E-R-G. High Vandenberg pitching in the second inning. With two away and the bases loaded, and he'll throw first of all to Outlaw, the third baseman. As far as Vandenberg is concerned, here in this World Series, he has pitched 2 2/3 innings in relief. He's given up a couple of bases on balls. He struck out no one. He's won none, lost none. So Vandenberg takes the mound for Chicago. He's the third pitcher for Charlie Grimm. Jimmy Outlaw steps up there with the bases loaded. Greenberg at third, Cullenbine at second, and York at first. It's a 6-1 ball game in favor of Detroit. Vandenberg delivers. It's a three-quarter overhand pitch. It's in there for a strike. Little Jimmy Outlaw came up in the first inning, and he too was walked. So his pregame batting percentage for the series of 167 is still intact. Vandenberg, the grab-boned right-hander, delivers. There's a swooping curveball that misses just outside. Outlaw digs back in, stands deep at the plate, holds that bat high on his right shoulder. Vandenberg twists, throws a curveball. It's hit right back to the mound. Vandenberg knocks it down with his body, then picks it up, throws it to Cabaretta, and that's all for Outlaw and the Tigers in the second. So Vandenberg gets him out of there, but not before they'd scored a run. One run on one hit. Three men left and no errors. So at the end of 1.5 innings of play, the score stands the Tigers 6 and the Cubs 1. Well, while there's a moment, I want to bring baseball's famous pinch-hitting pitcher, Red Ruffing of the New York Yankees, to the microphone. Red, the standout pitcher of the American League, is the leading World Series pitcher of all time, having won 7 consecutive victories and being charged with only 2 defeats. Red, I wish you'd tell the fans what you told me last evening about the slick, easy shaves you get with the Gillette Blue Blade.
Just what I said, Al. I can't get a decent shave with any other blade.
Go on and tell them about it, Red.
Okay, Al. I said your line. Look sharp, feel sharp. It sums the story up for me. The fellow does look better and feel better when he's shaved with that Gillette Blue Blade.
Well, that's what I wanted you to give the fans, Red. Thanks, Red Ruffin. Remember, men, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. Now in the last half of the second inning, the first man up for Chicago is going to be Bill Nicholson. Bill is hitting at 208. He has 5-for-24 for his work in the series. One of those hits was a triple. A very costly triple as far as Detroit was concerned, because it helped them lose the first game of the series. Now Newhouser pitches and Nicholson swings viciously and fouls it way back onto the screen for strike 1. And I can't help
but wonder what goes through Red Ruffing's head as he watches the American Leaguers perform here this afternoon at Wrigley Field in Chicago. Red told me last night that he certainly would like to be pitching down there just any day in this series. Neuhauser is throwing low for Detroit. He stops a curve, and it's low to Nicholson for ball one. 1-1 is the count to Bill Nicholson. First man up for Chicago in the second inning. Neuhauser throws a curve that Nicholson swings on, and there's a high foul ball going over near the Detroit dugout. Richards, the catcher, is over, and he takes it for the out. That's all for Nicholson. Fouling up and out to catcher Richards of Detroit. The batter now is Mickey Livingston. Mickey missed just one of the ball games, so he's playing his sixth game of the World Series. He's had 7 hits for 18 at-bats, and he is the number 2 hitter of all batsmen. He's going along hitting at 389. He's a right-hand hitter standing deep at the plate. Takes a look at the first pitch and it costs him. Neuhauser had that one right in. No balls, one strike. His young Detroit southpaw delivers, and Livingston hits one down to third. Outlaw picks it up on a big hop, fires it over to Rudy York, and that's all for Livingston, going out from third to first. Now Roy Hughes, the shortstop, is coming up. There are 2 outs here in the last of the second inning. The score stands Tigers 6 and the Chicago Cubs 1. This is the 7th and final game of the 1945 World Series. Hughes hitting right-handed, batting at 286. Neuhauser tries a curve on him, and it's good. Just above the knees on the outside corner for strike 1. Hughes bends over slightly from the waist. Neuhauser pours a change of pace in there that's just outside. And that's ball 1. 1 ball, 1 strike. Neuhauser throws again. This time Hughes swings on it and fouls it up into the second tier behind first base. Down in the bullpen for the Chicago Cubs, tall, blonde right-hander Paul Erickson is starting to get ready, which leads us to believe that if Hughes gets on, Vandenberg may not hit. Neuhauser delivers to the plate now, and Hughes takes it, and it's a nice call strike. That's the third one. Neuhauser really had it in there. Let's see, as far as strikeouts are concerned, that's the second one for Hal. So at the end of 2 innings of play, with nothing across here for Chicago in a second, it is the Tigers 6 and the Cubs 1. Well, you know, each day since the opening of this World Series, we have been explaining how these games are being broadcast to our servicemen and women overseas, how through the far-flung network of the Armed Forces Radio, our play-by-play descriptions are being shortwaved from San Francisco to Japan and China, Alaska, South America, to the Philippines and to our Navy ships throughout the Pacific. From New York, they are beamed over the Atlantic to England, France, Germany, Italy, and to the Far East. We are happy to say that the Armed Forces Radio Service are receiving wires from all over the world telling them what the reception of the game so far has been excellent, and that the men are getting a real thrill out of listening in. As one Detroiter said to a correspondent in Tokyo, this is the next thing to being out there in the bleachers, if we only had some hot dogs. Yes, our bleachers this year extended clear out to Tokyo on one side and over to Berlin and Vienna on the other side. To all you men and women out there, we send our greetings and our sincere hope that you'll be back here with us when the World Series rolls around next year. Well, the third inning has rolled around here at Wrigley Field in Chicago. It's a 6-1 ball game in favor of the Detroit Tigers as we start the first half of inning number 3 with Paul Richards, the Detroit catcher, up at bat. Richards doubled back in the first inning to knock in 3 runs for the ball club, so he probably feels very fine about it. As High Vandenberg makes the first pitch, it's a fast call strike. Livingston sets out the sign. Vandenberg takes it, throws that pitch. It's a curveball of medium speed variety, low for ball 1. 1-1 is the count on Paul Richards. He's had 1 hit in 1 try. Vandenberg tries another curve, and Richards takes it, and it's a sweeping curve that bites over the outside corner for a called strike. So that makes the count 1-2 on the Detroit catcher. Vandenberg pumping nervously. Now throws. A curveball. It's in there for a called strike 3. And that's all for Richards. He took it with his bat on his shoulder. That's the first strikeout against Detroit this afternoon, and High Vandenberg, the third of the Chicago pitchers, hangs it up. The batter coming up now is Hal Neuhauser.
Al came up in the first inning and grounded down to the right side, and Johnson, the second baseman of the Cubs, threw him out. Al hitting left-handed. Stands very deep at the plate. Vandenberg clears him and misses with it just outside and low for ball one. Neuhauser has 0 for 5 as a batsman in the series, so he has no batting percentage. He swings on the next pitch. It's a change of pace curve, hit down to the right side. Johnson at second picks it up on the right side of the diamond and puts it into Cavaretta, and that's all for Neuhauser, going out from second to first, just as he did in the first inning. So that's the second out now for Detroit, here in the first half of inning number 3. Skeeter Webb is coming to the plate now. He's had one hit and two tries. He got a single to right back in the first inning, if you recall. Vandenberg tries a three-quarter overhand curve on him, and it's outside for ball one. Webb standing forward at the plate this time. It's as close to the pitcher as he can. He swings on the next pitch and beats it down foul to the left of the plate, and it rolls back toward the Chicago dugout. So the count now on Skeeter Webb is 1-1. Two outs. Top of the third inning, and the score stands at 6-1 in favor of Detroit over Chicago. Vandenberg's ready, now hustles his pitch down there, and Skeeter Webb swings on a wide curve and doesn't get it. That's strike two. He really reached for it, too. He wanted to hit that one. 1-2. Webb's always nervous with that bat at the plate. He pumps it back and forth. Now he swings on this next pitch, hits a slow roller to shortstop. Hughes comes in nicely, picks it up, throws it to Cavaretta in time by a stride. And that is all for Webb, going out from short to first. So in the third inning for Detroit, no runs, no hits, no errors, and nobody left. And the score, Detroit 6 and Chicago 1. Red Ruffing, stalwart Yankee pitcher, speaking from this booth last inning, told you about the slick, easy shaves he gets with today's Gillette Blue Blade. Now, there are millions of shavers just as enthusiastic as Red Ruffing about this finest of razor blades. In fact, the Gillette Blue Blade is number one in preference the world over because it's number one in sharpness. Yes, today's Gillette Blue Blade has the sharpest edges ever honed. So sharp, so smoothly finished, so easy shaving, that tough beard's no problem at all. It's mighty easy to check, old Al. Just ask for Gillette Blue Blades and see how quick and how easy and how smooth and refreshing shaving can be. Man, what shaves you get. Remember, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. We pause now 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is WGN Chicago, serving the Middle West.
Hi, Vandenberg is to be the first hitter for Chicago here in the last of the third inning. Vandenberg's coming up to the plate right now. Matter of fact, he has no hits and no at-bats here in the series. He takes the first pitch high for ball one. So this is his first official at-bat in the 1945 series. Neuhauser comes down with the next delivery, and Vandenberg swings and doesn't get it. He's spun all the way around. So the count on Vandenberg now is 1-1. First Cub up in the third inning. Al Neuhauser working very well for Detroit. Delivers. Vandenberg swings. Hits a high fly ball out into right field. Up under it is Kellenbein, and he's got it for the out. That's all for Vandenberg. A fly ball to right field to Roy Kellenbein. That brings up the second hitter. And starting the second batting around for Chicago is Stanley Hatt. He was struck out in the first inning. He's had 11 hits and 26 at-bats here in this 1945 series. Neuhauser works. Hack takes, and there's a low curve on the outside for ball one. If Stanley Hack can get himself another base hit in this World Series, he will tie Eddie Rice of Washington and Pepper Martin of the St. Louis Cardinals for 12 hits in a single series. Vandenberg tries, or rather, Neuhauser tries a curve, and it's outside to Hack for ball two. 2-0. We're in the last half of the third inning. The score is 6-1 in favor of Detroit. And one out for Chicago. No base runners. And Stanley Hack is up there for his second at-bat. Neuhauser's kind of stingy with the Cubs. He's given them only two hits. He throws a curve in there now, and Hack walks up on it and then takes it, and it's nicely in for a strike. Now his count is 2-1. Duhauser comes down with a fast one. It's in there. The call strike two. Just above the hack knees and on the outside corner. Now the count on the Chicago third baseman is two balls, two strikes. Hack watches Neuhauser get ready. Then swings on his offering and hits a ball down to third. Outlaw comes up with it behind third, throws to first. And that's all for Hack. Hack going out. Third to first, being thrown out by his opposing third baseman, Jimmy Outlaw. So that's the second out here in the last half of inning number three. The batter now is Johnson. Johnson got one of the two hits given up so far by Neuhauser when he doubled into left center field back in the first inning. Neuhauser throws a medium speed curveball in there that's swung on by Johnson and fouled off to the right of the plate. Strike one. Neuhauser with a new ball is ready. Neuhauser fogs a fast one in there. It's hit back past the mound, back at second. Skeeter Webb rides behind second, makes the pickup and the throw to first nicely for the out. And that's all for Johnson. Going out from short to first, being thrown out by Skeeter Webb. So there's nothing across for the Cubs here in the last half of the third inning. No runs, no hits, no errors, and nobody left. The score at the end of three innings of play in the seventh game of the 1945 World Series is Detroit 6. And Chicago won. As a matter of fact, Detroit has six runs on a total of five hits. They have committed one error. While for the Chicago Cubs, they have one run on a total of two hits off Neuhauser, and they have committed no errors. So we're headed for the top of the fourth inning here at Wrigley Field in Chicago. And Harve Vandenberg, the third of the Chicago pitchers, has taken the mound, and he'll throw first of all in the fourth inning to Eddie Mayo. Eddie Mayo will be followed by Doc Kramer and then by left fielder Hank Greenberg. Mayo has been up twice in this ball game and has had one hit in two attempts. Back in the first inning, he got a single to right field. In the second inning, Mayo flied to center. Kramer hasn't been stopped so far today. He's had two hits, a single to left and a single to right in his two at-bats. And then Hank Greenberg sacrificed successfully in the first and was walked in the second. So Greenberg hasn't been up there really officially. Now Mayo steps in, hitting left-handed, opens his stance slightly toward first base. Vandenberg, right-handed right-handed delivers, and there's a fastball swung on and beaten down into the ground foul. Rolls back toward the third dugout. And of course, that's strike one on Eddie Mayo. This is the ninth seven-game series to be played, and six of eight have been won by the National League. Vandenberg tries a low curve this time. Change of pace variety, and it's ball one. One ball, one strike to count on Eddie Mayo. Vandenberg comes right back with a one and one offering, and it's a curveball that hangs outside for ball two. 2-1. That's the count on Eddie Mayo. The first Tiger up. Fourth inning. A fastball is swung on by Mayo and missed completely for strike one. Another strike two. Two balls, two strikes. That was the first one he swung at in that manner. Two balls, two strikes is the count on Eddie Mayo, the first man up for Detroit here in the fourth inning. Vandenberg delivers 2-2. There's an easy curve. It's in there for call strike three. That's all for Mayo. That for Vandenberg is strikeout number two. He's the only Chicago Cup pitcher that's been able to do any business in that strikeout department with Detroit this afternoon. Now the batter is Buck Kramer. He's had two hits and two tries. Left-handed batter. Takes the first pitch and the crossing. He's right in there, just under the lettering of the shirt, right through the middle. Vandenberg rears back, comes down with a change of pace curve, which reached for, and there's a high pop-up back at shortstop. Hughes goes back about 15 feet on the grass in left field and grabs it for the out. It's off of Kramer, so he's been stopped now. That's the second out, the top of the fourth inning. That brings up Hank Greenberg for his first official at-bat. His pregame batting percentage of .333 is still riding. Look at that outfield move back when Greenberg digs in. Lowry moves back in left. Pasco moves over into left center and moves way back. Vandenberg tries curve on him. Greenberg takes it. High at the ball one.
Nicholson is over almost into right center field. Big hole in right field down near the line. Vandenberg throws and Greenberg takes. There's an inside curve just off the short ribs. The ball two. Two balls, no strikes. Ty Vandenberg blows on the fingers of his pitching hand. Now grips that ball. Steps up, delivers. Low for ball three. Well, the count on Greenberg now. Three balls, no strikes. He looks around at third base at Steve O'Neill to see whether or not he's going to be allowed to go for this 3-0 pitch. Vandenberg makes it, but it's taken. It's in for a strike. 3-1. Greenberg waves that war club back and forth. Takes this next pitch, and it's under his knees and on the inside for ball four. So Greenberg is walked with two away here in the fourth inning. That's the first walk given up by Vandenberg. That's walk number six that has been given to the Detroit Tigers. Now the fellow that has been receiving most of the walks is Roy Cullenbine. He's been the recipient of two of them, and he's up there now. Vandenberg starts to work on Cullenbine and misses with a low fast one on the inside for ball one. One ball, no strikes. Greenberg steps off at first. Two away here in the top of the fourth. Cullenbine reaches for a curveball and beats it down into the ground foul. So the count now on Cullenbine is 1-1. One ball, one strike. Roy hitting left-handed against the right-handed offerings of Vandenberg. Greenberg steps off at first. Vandenberg's pitch to quite a swing on. There's a long line drive foul out back of right field. Cullenbine also broke his butt on that one. Fell away from an inside hook and tried to pull it into right, but pulled it too much. Well, the count is 1-2 on Cullenbine. One ball, two strikes. And a little time has been called here now to allow Cullenbine to walk over to the Tiger dugout, select his favorite piece of lumber. Comes trudging back up to the plate with that Louisville slugger he carries over his shoulder. Gets in there now. The count is one ball, two strikes on Roy Cullenbine. Two outs in the top of the fourth, and Hank Greenberg, who was walked, is on it first. Vandenberg delivers. There goes Greenberg. The ball is swung on and missed and dropped by Mickey Livingston, but he makes the peg down to third, to first base in time, and it's a strikeout nevertheless. Cullenbine is out of there. So Vandenberg hangs up strikeout number three, and here in the fourth inning, no runs, no hits, one man left, and there were no errors. So at the end of 3.5 innings of play, the score stands Tigers 6 and the Cubs 1. Well, we all like to watch a pitcher who can fog them through. Yes, speed's a great thing when it's combined with perfect control. Speed counts for plenty in shaving, too, when it's hooked up with real comfort. Now, that's the kind of shaving you get when you use Gillette Brushless Shaving Cream. Gillette Brushless removes moisture-resisting oil from your whiskers almost instantly. What's more, it blankets a barrel of water against them, giving every bristle a thorough soaking. Yes, Gillette Brushless softens stubble and jig time and stays wet on your face. Lubricate your blade and make shaving lots quicker and easier. For extra shaving speed and comfort, ask your dealer for Gillette Brushless. If he's out of stock today because of wartime shortages, he'll have Gillette Brushless soon. Now for the last half of inning number four. The score stands 6-1 in favor of the Tigers over the Cubs. And Peanuts Lowry is coming up for his second at-bat here in the seventh game. He's 0-1. He was a base runner in the first inning when Newhouser bobbled his attempted sacrifice. Now Hal out on the mound makes the pitch, and there's a nice hook in there for a strike. Little Larry gets down, gets a double handful of dirt. Former GI waves that bat back and forth now. Newhouser cuts the pitch loose, and Larry takes it high. That's ball one. One ball, one strike. Newhouser works again. Larry swings on it, and there's a fly ball going out into right center field. Going over for it is Doc Kramer. Cullenbine cuts in front of him and takes it for the out. So in right center field, it was Roy Cullenbine who streaked in front of Doc Kramer to make the put out. That's one away in the last of the fourth inning for the Chicago Cubs. Well, Phil Cavaretta has hit in the only run so far for Chicago today.
And he's coming up now. Cabaret had a single in the first inning to right field. The folks here are being asked to remove the blankets from the wall in deep center field. Now they've done so, and the ball game is going to go on. Newhouser throwing left-handed, of course, makes his first pitch, and it's a curveball that stays outside to a left-hand hitter, Phil Cabaretta, for ball one. Newhouser tries again, and Cabaretta laces this one out of the center field. It's dropping in for a base hit. Doc Kramer picks it up on the third skip and fires it into Eddie Mayo, the second baseman. And Cabaretta is on with a solid hit in the center. That's hit number three off Newhouser. And the batter is Andy Papko, and the stands here at Chicago very suddenly come to life. Papko hit into a double play back in the first inning. He'd like to atone for that right now. He swings on the first pitch, and there's a fly ball to center. Doc Kramer goes back into his right and misjudges it. The ball falls behind him. Here comes Cabaretta moving into third. Charlie Grimm is waving him on in. There comes a throw to the plate. Cabaretta slides. The ball gets away from Richards. The runner is safe. And Pat goes to third. Well, Doc Kramer out in deep center field misjudged a fly ball that was carried by the wind, and it winds up as a triple for Papko to score Cabaretta all the way from first, and the throw that came into the plate was low and into the dirt, and Richards couldn't pick it up. Now here is Bill Nicholson. Newhouser delivers, and Nicholson swings and misses for strike one. That was hit number four and run number two off Newhouser. It's now a 6-2 ball game. Al delivers, and Nicholson at the plate takes low and on the outside for ball one. One ball, one strike. That's the count on Nicholson. He fouled up and out in the second inning to Richards. So he's 0 for 1 for this game. Newhouser delivers a fast curve under the knees of Nicholson for ball two. Two balls, one strike. There's one out for Chicago here in the fourth. They're trying to get back into this ball game. As the score stands, Detroit 6 and Chicago 2. Papko leads down off third. Nicholson swings and hits the ball easily back to the mound. Newhouser drives the runner back into third, throws to first in time, and that's all for Nicholson. He topped the swing and rolled it back toward the mound. Nicholson thrown out by Newhouser. Papko holding on at third base. The batter is Livingston now. Livingston came up in the second inning and was thrown out by third baseman Outlaw. Now Newhouser is ready to deliver to him. He checks Papko at third, goes to the plate, and swung on, missed for strike one. Livingston was going after a high inside curve. Mickey's a right-handed hitter. As we told you, he is the number two hitter in the series as far as batsmen are concerned. He's had seven hits for 19 tries. Now Newhouser is ready. Delivers 0-1 to the plate. And there's a ball hit right back to the mound. Newhouser grabs it very quickly. Throws it over to first. And that's all for Livingston. That's all for the Chicago Cubs here in the fourth inning. So, despite the triple, Newhouser got out of it rather easily and very inexpensively. One run, two hits, one man left, and there were no errors. So at the end of four full innings of play, the score stands 6 for the Tigers. Before we get into the top half of the fifth inning, I'd just like to remind you that for a rousing time, get your friends together Friday nights and enjoy a corking good scrap on Gillette's Cavalcade of Sports. Yes, for the major boxing event of the week, every week, the year round, tune in Gillette's Cavalcade of Sports Friday nights. Consult your newspaper for a local station and local time. Now for the first half of inning number 5. This is quite a knockdown, drag-out ball game with the Chicago Cubs and the Detroit Tigers fighting for the World's Championship here in the seventh game of the 1945 World Series at Wrigley Field in Chicago. The first man up for Detroit here in the fifth inning is going to be Rudy York. He twice has been up there, but just once officially. He came up in the first inning and popped up and out to third baseman Stan Hack. Then in the second inning, he was walked. So York is coming up actually for his second official at-bat. He's 0 for 1. No hits in one try. Out on the mound, High Vandenberg, pitching for the Chicago Cubs, has Vista DeRozenbag, and he's ready to throw. Rudy York, big, powerful right-hand hitter, very thick set through the chest and shoulders, watches the first pitch whistle in, and it's low for ball one. It's a 6-2 ball game in favor of the Tigers. Vandenberg twists and throws an overhand curve that's swung on and fouled off by York for strike one. One ball, one strike. That's the count on Rudy York. York looks down at O'Neill behind third. These ball players very carefully watch their manager because with each pitch, signs are changed. Vandenberg delivers one and one. It's a medium-speed curveball. It's over for a strike. Now it's one and two. One ball, two strikes. York waits. Vandenberg serves. York swings, and there's a bounding ball to third. Hack is up with it. There's a throw over to Cabaretta at first, and that is all for York. Bouncing out from third to first. Well, that's one away here in the top of the fifth inning. The batter coming up there now for Detroit is Jimmy Outlaw. He walked in the first, hit back to the mound and was thrown out by the pitcher in the second inning. So Outlaw has gone up there once officially and has failed to get a hit. Vandenberg throws a curve in there that Outlaw, the little right-handed hitter, swings on and fouls right back onto the screen for strike one. Outfield immediately when Outlaw comes up there. Walks in a couple of steps. Vandenberg now with one away in the fifth delivers, and Outlaw almost took a swing at that one, but pulled up in time to take it low for ball one. One ball and one strike is the count on third baseman Jimmy Outlaw of the Detroit Tigers. Vandenberg, big right-hander, throws, and it swung on and hit just over the outstretched fingertips of Hughes and out into left field for a base hit. So Outlaw singles right over shortstop, out into left. That's hit number six, as far as Detroit is concerned, and now they have an equal number of runs and hits. The batter is Paul Richards. Richards doubled in the first inning, struck out in the third. Now he takes a curveball. It's good for a strike. No balls, one strike. That's a count on Richards. He turns around and is really talking to Passarella. He didn't like to call on that one a bit. In five and the third innings, that was the first hit off Vandenberg. Down comes the next pitch. There goes the runner down to second base. The pitch to plate is swung on for strike two. The plate goes down to second. The flying spikes of Outlaw slides under the peg, and he's safe at second. So he'll get credit with a stolen base. Outlaw is credited with a steal of second. Richard swung to protect him, and of course that's strike two on Paul. But the Tigers have another base runner in scoring position. There's one away here in the top of the fifth inning. Vandenberg is ready now, delivers. Richards takes a curveball. It snaps off outside to ball one. One ball, two strikes. That Outlaw was really digging that time. He stole second. Those little short legs of his pumping and chopping up and down. Covers a lot of ground. Vandenberg delivers to the plate, and Richards takes a low curve on the inside for ball two. Now it's a count of two balls, two strikes on Paul Richards. One out for Detroit in the top of the fifth inning. Outlaw singled and stole second, and he's now on at the keystone. With his hands on his hips right now as he takes a short lead. Looks around behind him to make sure no one's sneaking in behind him to pick him off. Now Vandenberg is ready. Delivers two and two. Richards leans forward toward it and then jerks himself back and takes ball three. Three balls, two strikes. That's the count on Paul Richards, the Detroit catcher. Vandenberg ready with the 3-2 delivery. Checks out Law at second. Now throws Plakewood. Richards swings on it. There's a high foul ball way back into the second tier behind first base. The count stays at 3-2. The score, in case you just tuned in, Detroit 6, and Chicago 2. We're in the top half of the fifth inning. One out, Outlaw at second. Richards at the plate, count of 3-2, and he swings on the next pitch. Hits it down to Stanley Hack. The runner is driven back into second. Hack's throw across the diamond is in time, and that's all for Richards. Going out from third to first. Outlaw holding right on at second. The batter now is Hal Newhouser. Up until now, Hal Newhouser's pitched himself a pretty sharp game. He's been looking sharp down there. It's left-handed. However, as a batsman, he's gone over two. He swings on the first one, a big jug-handled curve. Missed it for a strike. No balls, one strike is the count on Hal Newhouser. Two outs. Outlaw still on at second. Vandenberg delivers. Newhouser swings on the next pitch, and there's a fly ball hit out into left field. Larry has to hurry. He does and makes the catch. Lowry had to come up in a big hurry and over toward the line in left field, but he was right there. Made the catch, so there are no runs. One hit, and a man left, and there were no errors. So at the end of 4.5 innings of play, the score stands, the Tigers 6, and the Cubs 2. Folks, peace has plenty of blessings. Among them is the thrill we all get at seeing the good things we've missed during the war reappear. So when I tell you that the famous Easy Shaving Gillette Tech Razor is coming back on dealers' counters all over the country, I can just hear a lot of you fellas say, hot dog. Now, most stores have the Gillette Tech in stock right now, and you'll probably find one where you trade. So be on the lookout for the Gillette Tech Razor you and plenty of other men have been waiting for. It's on the way with all-metal gold-plated head, plus 5 super keen Gillette Blue blades at the popular pre-war price of only 49 cents. What shaves you get, how quick and how easy, how smooth and how refreshing. Yes, happy shaves are here again. Ask your dealer for your Gillette Tech Razor with 5 perfect shaving Gillette Blue Blades at 49 cents. And now for the last portion of the seventh game of the 1945 World Series, to close up shop, put it in the books, is a guy that can do it. Bill Slater. You ready, Bill?
Thank you, Al. Yep. Roy Hughes is the first batter up for the Cubs here in the last of the fifth. Whispering Roy struck out his first time up. 24-year-old Hal Newhouser gets ready to pitch to Hughes. Here it comes. Hughes backs away from it. It's an inside pitch for ball one.
Jolly Charlie Grimm, with his team trailing by 4 runs, is cutting up capers galore down in that third base coaching box. He wants Hughes to hit and get on. Hughes swings, foul tips it. Strike one. One ball, one strike. Don't go away, y'all. This game isn't over yet. 6-2, the Tigers are out in front, and Hal Newhouser, the best of their pitchers, is looking mighty keen. Just the same, these Cubs are fighting back. Newhouser works. It's good. The curveball gets the inside corner, and Hughes is sore about it. He throws his bat down and walks away from the plate, and Charlie Grimm comes walking in from third, and he's not happy now. It was a curveball, nipped the inside corner. Now Hughes and Passarella have got themselves a bit of a rondelay on down there. Hughes is sticking his chin out at Passarella. Passarella's talking right back to him, too. That Passarella was a military policeman in the Army. Now Hughes picks his bat up again, and meanwhile, out on the mound, Hal Newhouser is flailing his arms around like a windmill, trying to keep warm. It's a cool day. Here they are, ready to go again. Here's the pitch to Hughes. It's inside. Ball two. 2 balls, 2 strikes. And a derisive roar from the crowd, who disagreed with the call on that last one. 2-2 now on Roy Hughes. Newhouser's ready. Here it is. Hughes takes it, and it is called strike three. And Hughes is sore again. But he's out of there. That's the second time that Roy Hughes has struck out in this ball game, and for Newhouser, that is strikeout number three. Two of them he's collected off of Hughes. Now here's a pinch hitter coming up in place of High Vandenberg. It's Eddie Sauer. Sauer stepping up there, right-handed hitter. This is Sauer's second time up as a pinch hitter in the ballgame, and Newhouser promptly greets him with a fast call strike, a curveball that whipped in and over. Sauer's an outfielder by trade, and he hails from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a right-handed batter. One strike on him. Newhouser works down low into the dirt, scooped up by Richards. The crowd hooping a bit. They're giving Passarella a bit of a razzle-loo. 1-1 on Sauer. That pitch is high for ball two. S-A-U-E-R. Eddie Sauer. Neuhauser, who has a commanding lead in this ballgame, is taking plenty of time on every pitch. He's never pitched a more important battle than this in his life. Sauer swings on that one, fouls it into the big netting here behind the catcher. Two balls, two strikes on Sauer. The next pitcher will either be Passeau or Erickson, I believe. They both seem to be working out down there in the bullpen for the Cubs. Now a new ball put in play. Neuhauser has it rubbed up. Here's the pitch. It's a little too high. Makes it ball three for a full count on Sauer, the pinch hitter. There have been more pinch hitters used in this series, as you know, than any other series in all baseball history. Here it is. Sauer swings, strikes out. Strikeout number four for Neuhauser. Two out for Chicago in the last half of the fifth. And now the leadoff hitter, Stanley Hack, comes up to start the third batting around for the Cubs. And Stanley has been turned back his two previous appearances at the plate by Hal Neuhauser. Hal works. Hack takes a fast call strike. Neuhauser seems to be getting sharper and sharper as this game wears along. Here it comes. Hack swings on it. There's a ground ball to shortstop. Skeeter Webb scoops it out of the dirt to throw to first. It's just in time. Hack is out by half a stride. So in the last of the fifth inning, there's nothing across for the Chicago Cubs. And the score at the end of five full innings of play is Detroit 6 and Chicago 2. And I believe it's big blonde Paul Erickson who's coming in to be the next pitcher for the Cubs. We'll wait till he's officially announced. He's taking the stride in, though, from out there in left field where the bullpen is located. And while Erickson is coming to the mound to complete his warm-up pitches and to appear as the fourth pitcher this afternoon for the Chicago Cubs, let's pause here 10 seconds for station identification. Remember, men, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is WGN Chicago serving the Middle West.
Charlie Graham, as you can see, is using every bit of ammunition he has in his whole arsenal to try to pull this game out of the fire. This is the fourth pitcher, we've told you, who came out there. As you know, but to remind you of the late tuner in you are, Hank Barroi started the ball game, and they collected three hits in a row off of him, and that was all for him. Then big Paul Derringer came in. He was relieved by Vandenberg in the second inning. Vandenberg pitched mighty classy ball. He gave up only one hit, the only hit he's given up in the series. And now Vandenberg was lifted in the last half of the fifth inning for a pinch hitter. And so we have blonde Paul Erickson, a big right-hander. So far in this series, Erickson has appeared in three games. This is the fourth game he's come in as a pinch pitcher. He has pitched five innings and given up six hits. Erickson hails from Zion, Illinois. Stands 6'2", and he weighs 200 pounds, and he's a big, impressive figure out there on the mound. Getting ready to pitch now to Jimmy Webb, the right-handed hitting shortstop. And he feeds him a call strike. That was a fastball that clipped the inside corner waist high. Webb is starting the fourth batting around for the Tigers. Erickson works sidearm, and Webb fouls it off for strike two. A ball's two strikes on Jimmy Skeeter Webb. The Skeeter's got his three-year-old little daughter, Carol Ann, here. She's a nice-looking kid. Two strikes on Carol Ann's papa. Swings on that one. There's a fly ball going into center field. In comes Papko. He's under it now and takes it for the out and falls to one knee after he does so, but I don't think he's hurt. Nope. So Webb is out of there. Andy Papko in center field's okay. That's one away for Detroit now in the top of the sixth inning. And this is a tense battle, and you can tell by the fact that you don't get too much noise in the background except when there's a Cub rally on that these Chicago fans are pulling for their team. And here's Eddie Mayo stepping up, batting left-handed. Takes a call strike. Erickson was very fast with the curveball just above the knees on the outside corner. Mayo bats left-handed. He's 1-for-3 in this game. Backs away from an inside pitch that's low by the shins. Ball one. One ball, one strike. Mayo usually parks his chewing gum on that button on the top of his cap, but I haven't seen him doing it in the World Series. This is a little bit too serious to be parking gum on your cap. One and one on Mayo. Erickson pitches sidearm. It's too high. Ball two. Al is taking a look at Mayo through his glasses, and just to keep all the reporting straight, the gum's up there. Todd Spodkins. I bet it freezes. Two balls, one strike on Mayo as Erickson takes plenty of time for this next pitch. Now the big guy winds up, delivers. Mayo swings on it. There's a fly ball going into left field. Off to his left is Lowry, and on the run, he makes a good catch. That was a pretty deep hit ball. Peanuts Lowry, starting with the crack of the bat, was running back into his left. And back almost by that vine-covered wall out there, he made the catch. Mayo is out, and that's two out for Detroit now in the top of the sixth inning. And here's Doc Kramer, who's been pretty sensational today. He's gone 2-for-3. He now has 10 hits, and that's more than any other Tiger. Swings on one, slaps it down the left field line, foul. Goes over into the stands. A dozen and one people stand up and reach their fingers up to try to catch that. Can get a broken finger that way. One strike on Doc Kramer from Manahawkin, New Jersey. The Fox Hunter. Swings on that one, slaps it out in the center field. There's another hit for him. The ball rolls out to Papko in center field, and he throws it back into second. And Kramer is on with his third hit of the afternoon. That, of course, is the first hit off Erickson. And the batter coming up is Greenberg. And there's a stir in the stands as Big Hank advances to the plate. Hank has been walked twice today, and he's been walked six times in the series. His first time up this afternoon, he sacrificed successfully. So Big Hank, the long ball hitter who has slugged out two home runs and three doubles, steps up there. And he gets a call strike. Erickson was sharp with a fast curve just below the shoulders to Mr. Greenberg. Hank's got one of his wrists taped up today. Here it is. Greenberg takes it outside. One ball, one strike. And Peanuts Lowry has gone so deep out in the left field that you can barely see the little fella. He's backed up there. It was over his head that Hank Greenberg slugged that one yesterday. Here it comes. Greenberg takes another call strike. And Hank, who's usually pretty genial, looks a little bit irritated at that. Two strikes on him. The outfield plays Greenberg so that there's a big hole between center field and right field. They pull him around to the left. He's a right-handed slugger and a pull hitter. Kramer leads off first, two out. There's a throw to first. Kramer hops back on. For all of his 39 years, Doc Kramer says he's going to continue to play baseball till somebody beats him out of there. That's the spirit. Greenberg fouls that one off. Lands in the big fishing net here behind the catcher. Count is still one ball, two strikes. On Henry Greenberg. I think that's the first time in this series he's been called Henry. Erickson works. There's Kramer breaking for second. The pitch is outside. Livingston has a hard time holding it, and Kramer goes on down to second unmolested, and it's a stolen base for him. That's the third stolen base for the Tigers in this series, and the second one today. Hellenbein, Outlaw, and Kramer have now all pilfered a bag.
The Cubs, on the other hand, have two stolen bases. Johnson and Papko snitch them. Alan Greenberg is two balls, two strikes. Now big Paul Erickson in that spanking white uniform of his stretches. Delivers to Greenberg, who strikes out.
Boy, you could get elected mayor of Chicago by striking out Greenberg today. That's all for the Tigers at the top of the sixth. No runs, a hit, a man left on, and there were no errors. So as we head to the last of the sixth, the score is Detroit 6, Chicago 2. Fans, doesn't it stand to reason that Gillette, of all folks, has the resources, experience, and skill to produce the kind of shaving cream that you want, the kind that softens your beard thoroughly and makes shaving more comfortable? Well, take it from yours truly, that's just what Gillette Lather Shaving Cream does. It makes a rich, moisture-laden lather that holds a barrel of water and releases it freely, soaking every bristle and keeping your whisker soft all the while you shave. Your razor glides like a feather. You get shaves that are shaved. Men, Gillette Lather Shaving Cream stays wet on your face and keeps your whiskers properly conditioned while you shave. Moreover, it's kind to your skin, and it has a fleeting fragrance that men prefer. You get cleaner, smoother, better-looking shaves, and you save money, too, when you use Gillette Lather Shaving Cream, a quarter. The last half of the sixth inning, and Chicago, trailing by four runs, finds that the chances are running out. The sands of time are working against them. And they have, in the regulation distance, four more times at bat to salvage this ball game. Else the Tigers march out of Wrigley Field World Champions for 1945. Now Neuhauser is flailing that arm around of his. And here's Johnson up, a right-handed hitter who is one for two. And there's a call strike, a beautiful curve by Neuhauser. Ooh, that fella has stuff. One strike on Don Johnson. Johnson doubled in the first inning. Swings on that one, fouls it off. Two strikes. He lands on the net behind the catcher, Paul Richards. Richards comes from Waxahachie. He tells me that's the way to pronounce it down in Texas. We've been calling it Waxahachie, and we apologize now to every citizen of Waxahachie. Two strikes on Johnson. Now Richards of Waxahachie gives the signal to Neuhauser. He's ready to go. Johnson swings, strikes out. That is strikeout number five for Neuhauser. Neuhauser struck out one in the first inning, one in the second, none in the third, none in the fourth, two in the fifth, and now one in the sixth. The batter now is Peanuts Lowry, a right-handed hitter who is 0 for 2 today. Peanuts crouches, swings, slaps it out into left field. It's a single. Greenberg coming up to field it, bobbles it for a minute. But Lowry, after taking a sharp turn at first, goes back to first. It's a single for Peanuts, and it is hit number 5 off Neuhauser. And Cabaretta, who's had a hit every time this afternoon, steps up to the plate. Paul now has 10 hits in this series out of 24 times up. He's had two doubles and a homer. The pitch to him is low and outside. Ball one. Neuhauser will be pitching with extreme care to Phil Cabaretta, the star first baseman and the National League's batting champion. Lowry leads off first. Here's the pitch. High and outside. Curve that broke away. Ball two on Cabaretta. You can hear the ascending roar of the fans here in Wrigley Field as again the Cubs start a threat. That's a call strike. Three-quarter speed curve ball that hooked over there for Neuhauser. Cabaretta took it. Two and one. Outfield is straight away but deep on Cabaretta. He swings on a low-breaking curve and misses it. That's that low outside curve that Cabaretta swung on three or four times I can think of in the series. Now Neuhauser watches Lowry at first, delivers the plate. Cabaretta takes it. Ball three. Now it's a full count. Three and two. And Grimm, coaching at third, bends over, puts his hands on his knees, and he's not jolly now. He's stern and tense. Neuhauser stretches. Here's the 3-2 pitch. It's swung on. There's a fly ball popped into center field. In comes Kramer. He comes up to it and catches it. Lowry's going to have to hurry to get back to first, but does so.
Cabaretta's out on a fly to short center field that Doc Kramer had to come rustling in to get. Lowry remains at first. There are two out. And here's Andy Papko, who has hit the extremes in his batting today. The first time up, he hit into a double play. The last time, back in inning number four, he got a triple to center field. He's a right-handed hitter, is Andy. He's one of the six Papko brothers from up Wisconsin way. Newhouser pitches him. It's good. Fast curve midway between the waist and knees. Andy took it. One strike. There's strike two. That was a fast curve on the inside corner. Papko crowds the plate just a little. He wasn't sure of that one. Two strikes. Papko's had six hits 26 times up in this series. That one's low into the dirt. Ball one. One ball, two strikes. Two out, a runner at first. Harold Newhouser stretches, delivers, and he strikes out. Papko is out of there, and that's strikeout number six for Newhouser. He struck out two of them this inning, and he struck out two in inning number five. So in the last half of the sixth inning, no runs for Chicago. One hit, one base runner left on, and there are no errors. So the score at the end of six full innings of play is Detroit 6 and Chicago 2. That makes for Mr. Newhouser in the series, 8. And now we move into inning number 7. And as we've said, the issue is becoming sharper and sharper with each advancing inning. And now there are only 3 innings left. The Tigers are out in front, 6-2. And on the mound, Erickson is completing his warm-up pitches. Behind the plate is Mickey Livingston, the fiery guy from South Carolina. And at first is Cabaretta, and at second is Johnson, and at shortstop is Roy Hughes, Whispering Roy. And at third is the great Stan Hyde. And in left field is Little Peanuts Lowry, and in center field there's Andy Papko. And out in right field is Bad Bill Nicholson. And those are the Cubs in the field, and they're behind now. And Detroit threatens to take the series from them, as they did 10 years ago. Now the first Detroit batter in inning number 7 is Roy Cullenbine. He has been walked 7 times in this series, and he struck out twice. Today he's been walked twice and struck out once. That was his last time up. Pitch to him is low and outside by Paul Erickson. Ball one. Cullenbine, big and husky, can hit from either side of the plate, batting left-handed, of course, against right-handed pitching. Erickson works. It's outside. The sidearm delivery that didn't quite do what Paul wanted it to. The pitch, good. Cullenbine started for it, checked his swing, and it was in just above the knees. 2 balls, 1 strike now. Cullenbine, a citizen of Detroit. Quite a bowler up there, as a matter of fact. A lot of ball players like to bowl. Here's the pitch. It's inside. Ball three. 3 balls, 1 strike now on the first batter for Detroit in the top of the 7th. Erickson looked a little disconsolate after the call on that last one. There's no activity in the Cub bullpen right now. That's a call strike on Cullenbine, who had turned as if to start down to first. Cullenbine has been walked more than anybody in the series. He's had 7 Annie Oakleys. Now the count on him is 3-2, and the string, she runs out. Erickson's working. It's high, and Cullenbine has walked again. That gives him 8 walks in the series. Now, don't get record-minded on that, because the record number of walks garnered by any batter in the World Series is 11. Cullenbine's 3 away from that. And, of course, that was Ruth back in 26 in the 7-game series between the Yanks and the Cards. The Babe was walked 11 times. Now the batter is Rudy York. Erickson pitches him high and inside for ball one. Cullenbine is at first. This is York's 3rd official time up today. He hasn't hit yet. He was walked once. York in the series has been walked 3 times. Struck out 3 times, too, incidentally. Swings, misses it. Foul tipped it. went whopping into the chest protector of the umpire. One ball, one strike. Center fielder moves a little to his right, to our left on York. And Nicholson pulls over to the left, too, the right fielder. Pretty good piece of territory between Nicholson and the right field line. York swings, misses. Strike two. Rudy didn't swing with his full power on that. And now there is activity in the Cub bullpen. It's Ray Prim out there. Numbering up that left arm of his. One and two is Erickson's count on York. The pitch. Strike three. Paul. That's the second strikeout for Paul Erickson. Hellenbein is still at first. One out for Detroit in the top of the seventh. If you just tuned in, score 6-2 in favor of Detroit. Now here's little Jimmy Outlaw. He's had one hit out of two official times up. Right-handed batter. Swings on a foul ball as Cullenbine broke for second. The ball goes down into the stands there, and Cullenbine will go back to first. That's a strike on Outlaw. Jimmy batted in a run back in inning number one by the simple process of being walked. He's batted in three runs in the series. He's had five hits out of 26 times up. Now Outlaw is ready to go again. Erickson pitches high. Ball one. One and one on little Jimmy, who hails from down in Jackson, Alabama. He's very well liked there, and I may add, everywhere. He's a swell little guy. There's a throw over to first. Big Roy Cullenbine was not far off, and so he didn't have to do much by way of getting back. Erickson works, Cullenbine is breaking, and the ball is popped up into short center field. In comes Papko under it, and Cullenbine, halfway down to second, beats his way back to first. Papko took it on the run for the out on Outlaw. Two out. Top of the seventh. The batter now is Paul Richards, right-handed hitter, who has a double out of three times up, and he has driven in three runs this afternoon and five in the series. I had a wire from down in Atlanta where he used to be the manager of the Crackers, and they said down there we affectionately call him Old Slug. So Old Slug swings and misses one. That's a strike on Paul. He's from Waxahachie, Texas. A right-handed hitter. Swings, fouls it off, falls to the ground. Now he's up again. He was sort of trying to move himself out of the way of that pitch. His bat came swinging around, and the ball caromed off his bat, and he ended up on the ground. Two strikes. Cullenbine, who was walked, is still at first, and there are two out. Erickson works down low into the dirt, neatly held up by Mickey Livingston. Steve O'Neill, coaching down at third, is looking down at the ground, kicking the dirt a little bit. And I imagine at this particular point, his heart is full of joy and nervousness. Here's the pitch to Richards. He swings on it, slaps out in center field. It's falling in for a hit. It's falling to the left of Papko. It's rolling to the wall out there. Here's Cullenbine rounding third. He's headed for the plate. Here comes the throw into second, and Richards lazily holds up at second with a run-producing double. That's the second double of the afternoon for Old Slug, Paul Richards. And it's his fourth run batted in today. And for Detroit, it is run number seven. And they lead the Cubs now by a score of 7-2. There's a round of applause for Newhouser as he comes up. That's left-handed. Erickson pitches him inside for ball one. Paul Richards takes a lazy lead off second there. Not lazy in that sense. He's just relaxed. Newhouse swings on one, slaps it out towards center field. Papko going to his right, takes it nicely on the run. That's all for Detroit in the top of the seventh. One run on one hit. There was one base runner left on. There were no Cub errors. And the score at the end of 6.5 innings of play is Detroit 7 and Chicago 2. Well, now just about everybody knows genial Irish Joe Cronin of the Boston Red Sox, one of the greatest shortstops of all time. Joe, who has spent more years as a player manager than any other major leaguer, is with us here in the booth again this afternoon. Time ran short when you were on the air last Saturday, Joe, So let's pick up where we left off. You know, we say that the Gillette Razor and Gillette Blue Blade are the greatest shaving team on earth. What do you say, Joe? Well,
I'm with you 100% on that, Bill. In my experience, no other combination compares with it for easy shaving.
Right you are, Joe. That's because the Gillette Razor and Gillette Blue Blade are made for each other and work together perfectly.
Well, they sure do a smooth job on my whiskers every time.
Well, that's putting it very straight, and thanks, Joe Cronin. Remember, men, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. And now it's the home half of the seventh inning. And still the Chicago fans are on their feet in the old baseball custom. Nicholson is going to be the first hitter for Chicago in the last of the seventh. And lefty Hal Newhouser, who in this series has won one and lost one, and is trying to pitch the Tigers into the World's Championship in 1945 and doing pretty handsomely right now, is on the mound. And this young 24-year-old, who's a Detroit product all the way, started his athletic career in Wilbur Wright High School up there. One of the great stars of Tiger history this year is about to pitch to Nicholson. He does so, and Nicholson takes it. It's outside. Ball one. Bill Nicholson hasn't had a hit today. Fouled out once to the catcher, and the next time hit back to Newhouser on the mound. Swings on this one. There's a high foul up, coming back into the stands. Lands on the screen and lazily rolls off. One ball, one strike on Big Bill Nicholson. Nicholson has driven in seven runs so far in this series. That's more than anybody else. Newhouser lets it go. It's high, and Nicholson fouls it off, reaching for a high three-quarter speed curveball. One ball, two strikes. Nicholson's dark complexion, and he has that menacing attitude at the plate that we've described to you so many times. Art Passarella, the plate umpire, moves out there and holds up the game for a second while some Tiger players in the bullpen down right field get off the field. Now Newhouse is ready to go, and here's the pitch. Nicholson swings on it. There's a bounding ball down to first. York has it. Tosses it underhand to Newhouser, who steps on first just ahead of Nicholson for the out. Nicholson is out 3-1.
And that's another rather smoothly executed play at first base by Rudy York, whose defensive play in the series has attracted a great deal of comment, and deservedly so, too, because Rudy, not generally known as a great fielding first baseman, has been very, very sharp here in this seven-game 1945 series. Now the batter is Mickey Livingston. Former GI, that's right-handed. Newhouser delivers him, and it's swung on and slapped out into left field for a hit. Greenberg fields it on the second bounce out there, and there's his good throw into second. Livingston is on at first. That is the eighth hit in the series for Mickey Livingston, and his first one this afternoon. And Stubby Overmeyer is working in the bullpen for the Tigers now. The little short, stocky Michigan man. Mickey Livingston at first. The batter is Whistling Roy Hughes. Got a lot of friends down in Cincinnati, has Hughes. Pitch to him is low and outside. Al Benson is now up and tossing the ball around in the bullpen of the Tigers also. Livingston at first with one out. Hughes attempts to bunt one that rolls foul. He was really wanting to get one down that third base line on Jimmy Outlaw, who was playing fairly deep on this right-handed hitter, and beat it out, of course. Rod Passau is throwing the ball in the bullpen of the Cubs. Both managers keeping men all warmed up. Any little old break, one way or the other, they're going to make a move. Now the count on Hughes is one ball, one strike. Newhouser pitches him, and Hughes fouls it into the crowd down the right field line. Two strikes. One ball, two strikes. This fella Hughes started his baseball in the sandlots of Cincinnati, where he was born. Lives in California now, however. That pitch is low into the dirt. It gets away from Richards, and going down to second is Mickey Livingston. We'll get the scoring on that for just a second. I have a hunch it was a wild pitch. It's a wild pitch. Ball was thrown into the dirt to the left of Richards, who tried to scoop it up. Then it bounced off his mask and rolled over toward the crowd here. While that was happening, Mickey Livingston was churning his way down to second. That's the first wild pitch that Hal Newhouser's made in the series. And one of the reasons why Hal Newhouser's production of wild pitches and his wildness has been cured, as it has been in the last couple of years, is that guy behind the plate, Richards. He's a cagey catcher at 37, and he's seen a lot of baseball. He's had a great deal to do with affecting the control that has made Newhouser the great left-handed pitcher of the last 2 years. Now the count on Hughes is 2-2. Now it's 3-2 because that pitch was very high. The pitcher Erickson is supposed to hit next, but I imagine we'll have a pinch hitter for him if Hughes can do some business. That pitch is low into the dirt, bounces into Richards' glove. It's a walk for Hughes. I believe that's the first walk today given up by Newhouser. And here comes Frank Sicori up to be a pinch hitter. Sicori's coming up as a pinch hitter. This will be the fifth game in which Sicori has been used as a pinch hitter. And he has had two hits out of four times up. That gives him as a pinch hitter a .500 batting average, which is nothing to be sneezed at. Now there are cup runners at first and second. There's only one out, and Sicori, a right-handed batter, is standing in there. There's a curve that comes in and over for a called strike. Sicori's a big athlete, with a great big number 49 on his back. He's an outfielder. He comes from Fort Huron in the state of Michigan. He was born in Iowa. Swings, fouls it off, strike two. Newhouser in a bit of trouble here in the last half of the seventh. He's rubbing up the new ball very carefully himself. Newhouser looked very calm and cool at breakfast this morning in the hotel. Benton and Overmeyer still working in the bullpen for the Tigers. Now Sicori is ready to go again, and Newhouser has that ball rubbed up. He has two strikes on Sicori. Now he has three strikes on him, a called third strike. That was a very, very clever curveball that Newhouser hooked in there on the 0-2 pitch, and he got Sicori, who was standing taking. That makes it two out. The batter is Hack. Smiling Stanley Camfield Hack, the Californian, who's been one of the stars of this series. That's left-handed. This is his fourth time up today, and he hasn't hit today, although he has 11 hits so far. The pitch is close to him and inside. Ball one. Livingston at second with itchy feet. Hughes at first. His itch two. Pitch to Hack is high for ball two. 2-0 the count. And regardless of how this series comes out, there's a great figure in baseball at that plate down there, Stan Hack. And out on that mound is a great young left-handed pitcher. He should have a magnificent career ahead of him, Harold Newhouser. Pitching here with very little rest today. There's a call strike that he whips in on Hack. Curveball just above the knees, nipped the outside corner to the left-handed batter. Now Mayo tries to sneak behind Livingston at second. The crowd warns him. Hack swings on that one. It goes to Outlaw down at third. He steps on third, forcing Livingston, retiring the side. Hack hits into a force out. He'd score Livingston out at third to the third baseman, unassisted. So in the last half of the seventh inning, no runs for Chicago. One hit, two base runners left on. There were no Detroit errors. At the end of seven full innings of play, the score is Detroit 7, Chicago 2. Now when this crucial game ends this afternoon, stay tuned in for Bill Corum, famous columnist of the New York Journal American Sports Staff. Hear a great reporter highlight today's baseball classic. Now, while we're waiting for the start of operations in the top of inning number 8, let's take a little pause here, 10 seconds, for station identification. Remember, men, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is WGN Chicago, serving in the North.
Now at the end of inning number 7, Al has our total scores here.
Detroit, 7 runs, 8 hits, 1 error. Chicago, 2 runs, 6 hits, and no errors. And now coming into pitch for Chicago in the top of the 8th inning is Claude Passeau. Passeau's been, as you know, one of the great figures in this series. Pitching up in Detroit, one of the most perfect games ever hurled in a World Series. Passeau, appearing in his third game, has pitched 15 and two-thirds innings. He's given up 6 hits. He has struck out 3, and he has walked 7. And he is credited with 1 victory and no defeats in this series. When he failed to come through down here, why, he was out, and the Cubs went ahead and won the ball game, so he was not credited with a defeat, or debited, rather, with a defeat. First batter he faces is Jimmy Webb, the right-handed hitting shortstop of Detroit. Passeau pitches to him low and inside. And Claude is working out there with a badly split fingernail on his left hand when he flagged down a hot line drive the other day, which is characteristic of Passeau. Webb fouls that one off. It's a high pop-up coming back into the stands. 1-1. Now down in the bullpen for Chicago is Brooklyn's Bob Chipman, a lefty. 1-1 is the count that the sturdy tongue nut farmer from Mississippi, Passeau, has on Webb. Now the count's 2-1 because that pitch by Passeau was too high. 2. Passeau working. Short windup. Webb taking. It's high. 3. 3-1. And of course, what's up to the Cubs now is to try to get these Tigers out of here just as rapidly as possible, and then come back in the 2 innings of the regulation length that are left to Chicago, see what they can do about this 5-run deficit. Here's the pitch. High and inside. 4. Webb has walked. That's just the second walk that Skeeter has gotten in the series. And for Passeau, that's the 8th man he's walked. Now the batter is Eddie Mayo. Mayo has 1 hit out of 4 times up today, and 6 for 27 in the series. Eddie twists his left leg away from an inside pitch for 1. Passeau taking lots of time, takes a look at Webb, who's being held on at first by Cabaretta. Passeau delivers. Here comes. Mayo swings on it, slaps it down the left field line. A high leap by Hack won't do. The ball is rolling to the corner. It's being chased by Lowry. Here comes Webb around third, coming on in to score. And holding up at second with a double is Mayo. Now the score is 8-2, and Detroit has a commanding lead. Mayo is at second with a double down the left field line. Now here's Doc Kramer coming up. Left-handed batter who is 3-for-4 this afternoon. Swings, fouls it off. Strike 1. Eddie Mayo, whose double just a moment ago, drove in Webb from first after Webb had been walked, and whose double was his 7th hit. That's Mayo leading off second now. Feeling pretty good. Doc Kramer swings on that one, hits it on the ground, down to Don Johnson at second. Johnson bobbles it, picks it up, throws to first in time. Johnson's trying to juggle it. That ball bobbled away from him. He reached up in the air with his right hand, plucked it out of the air, threw it to first to get Kramer. Mayo going to third on the play. 1. Runner at third. Score 8-2 in favor of Detroit. And a stir goes through the crowd as Greenberg comes to the plate. Big Hank. Greenberg has walked twice, sacrificed once, and struck out once. This is his 5th time at the plate in this ballgame. Pitch is close to him and a little bit high. 1. And Detroit partisans here, and their numbers are not legion, are shouting for Hank to get a hit. They'd like to see him slug that long ball. Passeau is walking around on the mound, kicking some dirt out of the way, blowing his breath on his hand, which he does constantly. Passeau, the 5th pitcher for Chicago this afternoon, spells his name, P-A-S-S-E-A-U. Here's the pitch. Greenberg swings on it, slices it out into left field, and Lowry comes in and makes a sensational running catch on it. There's the throw to the plate as Eddie Mayo comes in to score easily with run number 9. Mayo had to go back to third and touch up, Lowry came in, made a running catch on that line drive. Greenberg's out into left field, retiring Greenberg, but Mayo, speedy on his feet, came in to score, run number 9 for Detroit. That makes it 2 out, nobody on, 2 runs in here in the top of the 8th inning, and up comes Cullenbine. Cullenbine, who has been walked 8 times in this series, steps up there and fouls off the first pitch from Passo. Strike 1. And so the road becomes steeper for the Cubs. Passo delivers a little high, Cullenbine taking it for ball 1. 1 ball, 1 strike. Cullenbine has struck out and strolled 3 times in this game. Another pitch to him is high again for ball 2. Big Roy, who got off to a slow start in the series, come through in fair fashion. He has 5 hits out of 21 times up.
Swings on that one. There's a towering high infield pop-up. Back on the grass under it is Johnson now at second, and he takes it for the out. That retires the side for Detroit in the top of the 8th inning. 2 runs on 1 hit with no base runners left on, and there were no Chicago errors. So at the end of 7.5 innings of play, the score is Detroit 9, Chicago 2. Well, it was Joe Cronin, famous for his affable way and his ready smile, who said earlier today that in his experience, no other shaving combination compares with the Gillette Razor and Gillette Blue Blade. Now, I might add that in the Army and in the Navy, on land, on sea, and in the air, it's the Gillette Razor and Gillette Blue Blade by overwhelming odds. Naturally so. For the Gillette Blue Blade and the Gillette Razor are made for each other in the same factory by the same skilled craftsmen to the same high precision standards. Yes, today's Gillette Blue Blade and your Gillette Razor are the perfectly matched shaving combination. They fit exactly, work together beautifully, and turn in the smoothest performance known in shaving. Remember, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blade with the sharpest edges ever honed. Now the home half of the 8th inning. And again, Hal Newhouser returns to the mound. And again, young Prince Hal will work that left arm of his. And he has been, despite the fact that he got off in the series to a faltering start and losing that first game at Detroit, he has been in the series, as through the season, the main pitching hope of the Detroit Tigers. And it's Newhouser out there today, pitching with just a couple of days' rest. And now he faces Don Johnson, the second baseman of the Cubs, who bats right-handed. Johnson swings on that one. There's a high foul peeling back into the stands. Strike 1 on Don. Johnson got a double his first time up in inning number 1, grounded out in the third inning, and struck out his last time up in inning number 6. Newhouser pitches low into the dirt on the inside. Ball 1. 1 ball, 1 strike. And young Newhouser, this year, won 25 games against 9 losses for Detroit. And last year, he won 29 against 9 losses. And he's bidding here this afternoon for his second World Series victory of the Detroit Tigers. Now he grips that ball. He's ready to go. The 1-1 pitch to Johnson is high. Ball 2. 2 balls, 1 strike. Don Johnson grips his bat, swings it a slow one, it's off balance, and fouls it off. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Now Hank Wise is warming up in the bullpen for Chicago. Newhouser taking more and more time with each passing pitch as the game goes on and on into its final stanzas. Pitches low into the dirt. Ball 3 on Don Johnson. Activity in the bullpen of the Tigers now, too. Benton and Overmeyer. Johnson swings on that one. It's foul on the ground outside of third base. 9-2, the score stands. And every loyal Chicago fan glued to his seat here as we move into the last half of the 8th. Here's the 3-2 pitch to Johnson. He swings on it, slaps it down to shortstop. It's taken on the first bounce by Skeeter Webb. The throw to York in time. Johnson is out by 2 strides. Skeeter Webb's played a pretty snappy brand of baseball in this series.
Been guilty of only one error, and he's had more than his fair share of chances there at shortstop. Now here's Peanuts Lowry, the former MP in the Army. Steps up there batting right-handed. 1-for-3 today. The delivery to him is high. Ball one. Lowry's had 8 hits in the series out of 28 times up. Takes a call strike. That was a downer, and it had a lot of stuff on it. That's inside, that pitch. Ball two. 2 balls, 2 strikes on Lowry. 1 out, nobody on in the last half of the 8th inning. Hal Newhouser calmly working. Winds up, left hands it in. It's swung on, bloop down the left field line. In comes Greenberg. He can't come up to it. It falls in for a hit for Lowry. And Lowry is on at first. That's his second hit of the afternoon. Both of them hit out there to Greenberg in left field. Now comes Cabaretta. That is the 7th hit off Newhouser. The 22nd hit off of him in the series. Bill Cabaretta, who's 2-for-3 this afternoon, steps up there. Dark complexion. Good looking, very quiet. Pitch to him is on the inside for ball one. Newhouser works. Swung on by Cabaretta, and it's hit back on the ground into center field. Lowry is turning his way down to third, and Kramer fields the ball into second. Lowry is at third, Cabaretta at first. That was the 3rd hit today for Cabaretta. Now here's Papko, batting right-handed. He has a triple and 3 times up today. And the pressure is on Handy Andy. Swings on that one. It's a high foul coming back into the stand. Strike one on Papko. And here's the kid from the farm country of Wisconsin, who with his 5 brothers used to get up in the morning an hour ahead of time so they could get their farm chores done and go out and play some Papko baseball. And here he is with his team behind at bat with a chance to strike a great blow for his team, the Chicago Cubs, here in the 8th inning of the deciding game of this 45 World Series. Swings on that one. Hits it on the ground. Foul. Outside at third base. Score is 9-2 with Detroit in front. These Cubs, they're not through yet. Newhouser carefully rubbing up a new ball. 2 strikes quickly on Papko. He's fouled off 2 of them. The pitch is swung on. He strikes out. Newhouser struck out Papko twice in a row with men on bases. And for Newhouser, that is strikeout number 8. In the series, it's his 20th strikeout. That makes it 2 out now for Chicago in the last of the 8. And still, Cabaret is at first and Lowry at third. And here's Nicholson. Nicholson hasn't hit today. Hasn't gotten the ball out of the infield. Takes an outside pitch for ball one. Nicholson, who has batted in 7 runs, more than anybody else in the series. There, batting left-handed, swings on one. There's a high, towering foul off to the right of the plate. Richards goes over to the stands, but it's going into the stands. That's a strike on Nicholson. 1 ball, 1 strike on Bad Bill. Nicholson, the big fella from down in Chesterton, Maryland. Fellow who as a kid wanted to go to the United States Naval Academy at Annapolis, but colorblindness kept him out. So he went to Washington College instead, graduated, and here he is a Major League Baseball star. 1-1 on him. That pitch is down a little bit low into the dirt. I think he foul-tipped it. Not sure. Foul-tip hit Richards on the hand, and Richards is trotting over toward the dugout of the Tigers, and there will be time call now. Yep, Nicholson foul-tipped that one just slightly off of his bat, and it caught Richards on the hand, his right hand, and he promptly ran over toward the dugout, and I think that that will be all for Richards. I believe Bob Swift is being waved in from the bullpen. So Richards has apparently hurt a finger on his throwing hand. And just to keep Newhouser warm, here comes Jimmy Wilson, I think. Let's see who that is coming out to warm him up. It's young Jimmy Miller. So it is coming out to keep Newhouser warm as Bob Swift gets the tools of catching on
And he's coming in here as Richards is injured in the last half of the eighth inning. That's too bad for Paul.
Attention, please.
One ball, two strikes is the count on the batter, Nicholson. And he's batting in the clutch for Chicago in the last half of the eighth as these Cubs try to stay in the running. Cabaret is at first, Lowry is at third. Now Steve O'Neill is walking out of the dugout of the Tigers and back to his spot, coaching behind third. And that'll be all in this series for Paul Richards. Richards has certainly done himself very handsomely in the series. Today he has driven in four runs, and this the seventh and deciding ball game, for a total of six runs batted in the series. He's had two doubles today, which gives him four hits out of 19 times up in the series. He was walked four times, and he struck out three times. And that's a record of accomplishment on the part of Paul Richards that stamps him as a tremendous asset to the Tigers in this very, very thrilling 1945 series. And Steve O'Neill is stopped on his way back to third now to say a few words to his son-in-law, Skeeter Webb, who plays at shortstop. And now O'Neill seems to have inspected everything, and he's going back to the Tiger dugout. And here's Bob Swift. Swift, who was born in Salina, Kansas. He said he thought up until a couple of weeks ago that he was born in a place called Kip, Kansas. But he sort of talked it over with the family, and they tell him he was born in Salina. They lived for a while in Kip, which is a small town outside of Salina, Kansas. And Swift, as we've mentioned before, is known as the best waffle maker in Major League Baseball. As if that had any bearing on what's happening right now down there. It doesn't. Neuhauser is pitching to Swift now, and Swift is taking his throw down to second. Now he grabs the mask, puts it on, and the sturdy fellow is ready to go. Now here's the situation. There are two out in the last of the eighth. Lowry is at third. Cabaret is at first. They both hit Neuhauser. And the count on Bill Nicholson is one ball, two strikes. Now the left-handed slugger Nicholson is in there. Again, his jaw is stuck out at Neuhauser. Neuhauser pitches low and outside. Ball two. Two balls, two strikes, two out, two on. Neuhauser stretches. Nicholson swings on it, and it's foul on the ground down the first baseline. Count remains two balls, two strikes. Though Detroit has a lead of 9-2, this game, like all baseball games, and that's one of the thrilling aspects of this great American pastime, is not over until the last man is out. Nobody is saying that to himself more sharply than Nicholson at the plate now. Swings on one, slaps it on to center field. It's good for a hit. It's going to the right of Kramer. Lowry has already scored. Cabaretta is rounding third and holding up at third, and Nicholson is into second with a double. Cabaretta was held up at third as that ball was retrieved in left center field by Doc Kramer and whipped in. Kramer has a pretty good throwing arm. So Nicholson is at second now. Cabaret is at third. One run is crossed. The score is 9-3, and the batter is Mickey Livingston. That's the eighth run batted in this series for Nicholson, and it ties him for a seven-game series record with Gus Gosselin of Washington, who batted in 8 runs in 24, and Al Simmons of the A's, who hit in 8 runs in 1931. Of course, in a four-game series, Gehrig in 28 drove in 9. Now there's a swinging strike by Mickey Livingston, who missed it. Livingston, batting right-handed, is 1-for-3 today. He has driven in 4 runs in this series. He has 8 hits out of 21 times up. The pitch is good for a call strike. Livingston started for it, checked his swing, and Art Passarella calls it a strike. So it's 2 strikes on Livingston. Runners at second and third for Chicago. 2 out, last of the eighth. The Cubs trying to rally. Neuhauser pitches, high and inside. Ball one. One ball, 2 strikes. Livingston, a discharged GI, was in the Army Ground Forces. He's had his misfortunes in baseball. He's had his ups and downs, but he's a hard customer. Swing, strikes out. So Neuhauser whips through his 9th strike out of the ball game to retire the side in the last half of the 8th inning. That brought 1 run for Chicago on 3 hits, 2 base runners left on. There were no Detroit errors. So the score at the end of 8 full innings of this thrilling 7th and deciding game of the 45 series is Detroit 9 and Chicago 3. Well, you can't afford to miss Bill Corum's highlights of today's thrilling ball game. So stay tuned in. Here, a great reporter, Dewey Stuff, right off the cuff, just as soon as the last man is out in this game here at Wrigley Field. Now we set the stage for you again. Two on inning number nine. As the sands of time and fortune are running out, and Charlie Graham, as you can see, is using every bit of ammunition he has in the four last one to try to pull this game out. And here is Bob Stoughton, the fourth pitcher. Detroit Tigers came out there. One error. As you know, Bob will remind you of the right two hands on. Hank Roy started the ball game, and they collected the pitch ball out on the mound. That was all for him. As we bring the ball back, the three men are there for the Chicago. He's remained by Vandenberg during the series. In the second inning, the hot run. Vandenberg's pitch mighty classic ball. Gave up only one hit. Given up 8 hits in that time in the series. Charged with the loss of one game. Now Vandenberg was lifted in the last half of his fifth inning for a pinch hitter. He's a very solid hitter. Ron Paul Erickson, the big right-hander. Clutch and high chip in the series. Erickson has appeared in three games. And he's married to Bob Gale, who's been in as a pinch hitter. Pitcher, Denny Burns, former great base pitcher. 5 innings and give us 6 runs. Wise is a sturdy fellow. Erickson hails from Bryan, Illinois. He's the one who's called on here. He weighs 200 pounds and he's a big and figure out there on the left. Getting ready to start. That was a fastball that took the inside corner, waste time. W-Y-S-E. That was starting for 30 pounds for the Tiger family. Erickson works side arm and left side here on his drive, too, to set up things as far as his strikes. That means stupid left. And here's Rudy York from Cartersville, Georgia.
He's got his 3-0
down on the drive line. And hits the strike one. Nice with the kid. It'll be York, Outlaw, and Swift. That's Erickson in this inning. Carolina's ball of the night. Georgia's got the left-hand fly ball going at the center. Mayo usually parks his chewing gum on that button on the top of his cap. I haven't seen him do it in the World Series. This is a bit too serious to be talking gum on your cap. See how he might. He's too high. Right the ball. One on there. Erickson puts his sidearm. It's too high. Ball two. Here's Bob Swift. Al is taking a look at the ball through his glasses. He's standing at all in the point. He's got the young foot there. He's around 190 pounds. 29 years old. He's a sturdy looking right-handed bundy. The ball out in the back on the Mayo. And Erickson thinks plenty of time. Swing misses one. Now quick guy winds up to the roof. Mayo swings left to the fly ball. Now the right field off series. It's Lowry on the running again. He's got a strike. Strike two. That was a pretty deep hit ball. And he has Lowry starting at the back of the bat, running back into his left. Now hang back almost to that vine-covered wall out there. He made the catch. Swings on it. There's a bounding ball. Mayo back. Now two up. Gets it. Throws on it. And the batter
coming up is Greenberg. Hankerson walked twice today, and he's been walked six times in the series. First time up this afternoon, he sacrificed successfully. Big Hank, the long ball hitter, who has knocked out two home runs, three doubles, steps up there. And he gets a call strike. Harrison was shot up by the last pair, just below the shoulders for Mr. Greenberg.
Eddie is a big fellow, 6'3", weighs 205.
He takes the ball, he just plays the flag.
Merkley is out there.
And Greenberg takes it outside.
Place to Greenberg, and
one ball, one strike. Peanuts bar, he's gone so deep out the left field, and he can barely see the
struck out twice, and he's
backed up there. Over his head to Hank Greenberg, slug that one.
He's responsible for two of us. We're going to the last half of the ninth inning.
Here comes Greenberg, takes another ball strike. And Hank, who's usually pretty genial, looks a little bit irritated at that. Two strikes on him.
Arm is not in the best possible shape.
The outfield plays Greenberg, so there's a big hole between center field and right field. They pull him around to the left.
I believe that the right hand is down a full hit. They're coming up here to be the hit.
Kramer leads off first, two out. There's a throw. First, Kramer comes back on. Roll of his 39 years.
Swings on that one, hit it back through the middle. It's a hit.
Greenberg fouls that one off.
On the ground all the way. Moved by Washington. Down to his knees to make sure it didn't go through.
Still one ball is
on. And here is Clyde McCullough.
On Henry Greenberg. He gets hold of that right hand. He's going to go through. He's
McCullough was falling.
Kramer breaking it to second. The pitch is outside. The man had a hard time holding it.
Tremendous incline.
He's on that second on left. Nice ball.
Right-handed batter.
The third stolen base for the Tigers in this series. And the second one, he looks a little bit heavier.
All in line out on Kramer.
Now, the Cubs, on the other hand, have three stolen bases. Johnny Kyle has an advantage for him. That's what he calls right on Alan Greenberg. It's two balls. Ball right up the inside. A big ball there. Excellent side stop. Right in the middle of his stretches. Delivers to Greenberg for strikes out. The Tigers are the 1945. The Royals, Jeff Lowry, a right-handed player who was also
That's the reason for this third ball now begins on October 21. This behind the ball, which you see, it's five to one, and so far as the nation have heard his extensions. In very large measure, the success of the fair will depend on the wholehearted cooperation at the Colorado Point, Colorado. These are the men and women who get in the offending law of fair time and effort to put our war lines over the top.
Start a threat.
Now, Uncle Sam is calling them back to finish the job. And now, call strike. So bring your volunteers to work on your break there. Give them a long and
As Mullen, Johnson, and Earnshaw.
He's one of the numbers
that has had his funny brilliant today. He was a great pitcher today, very fast, and with a fine curve, and how completely he was in control.
Last curve, they go between the waist and knees, and he took it.
It's indicated by the fact that he struck out all three of Charlie Grimm's pitch in out.
There's strike two. That was a fast curve on the inside corner.
Detroit threatens to inflict a series from them.
Batter now is Paul Richards. Right-handed hitter. Has a double. Out of three times up. And he has driven in three runs this afternoon and five in the series. And I had a wire from down in Atlanta where he used to be the manager of the Crackers, and they said down there we affectionately call him Old Slug. So Old Slug swings and misses one. That's a strike on Paul.
And Hughes, the shortstop, went back to the first gap. So the first run comes in, and that's hit number three off for Roy.
From right-handed hit. Swing fouls it off, falls to the ground. Now he's up again. He was sort of trying to move himself out of the way of that pitch. His bat came swinging around, and the ball caromed off his bat, and he ended up on the ground. Steve O'Neill, coaching down at third, looking down to the ground, kicking the dirt a little bit. I imagine at this particular point, his heart is full of joy and nervousness. There's a pitch to Richard, he swings on it, slaps out center field, it's falling in for a hit, it's falling to the left of Pat Wallace, rolling to the wall out there, here's Columbine rounding third, he's headed for the plate, here comes the throw into second, and Richard Slazely holds up at second with a run producing double. That's the second double of the afternoon for Old Slug, Paul Richards, and it's his fourth run batted in today. And for Detroit, it's run number seven, and they lead the Cubs now by a score of 7-2. A round of applause for Newhouser as he comes up. That's left-handed, Erickson pitches him inside, ball one. Paul Richards takes a lazy lead off second there. Not lazy, in that sense, he's just relaxed. Newhouser swings on one, slaps it out towards center field. Papo going to his right, takes it nicely on the run. That's all for Detroit in the top of the seventh. One run on one hit. There was one base runner left on. There were no cup and errors. And the score at the end of 6.5 innings of play is Detroit 7 and Chicago 2. Well, now, just about everybody knows genial Irish Joe Cronin of the Boston Red Sox, one of the greatest shortstops of all time. Joe, who has spent more years as a player manager than any other major leaguer, is with us here in the booth again this afternoon. Time ran short when you were on the air last Saturday, Joe, so let's pick up where we left off. You know, recently, that's the Gillette Razor and Gillette Blue Blade are the greatest shaving team on earth. So what do you think?
I'm with you 100% on that, Bill. From my experience, no other combination compares with it for easy shaving.
Right you are, Joe. That's because the Gillette Razor and Gillette Blue Blade are made for each other and work together perfectly.
Well, they sure do a smooth job with my whiskers every time.
Well, that's putting it very straight, and thanks, Joe Cronin. Remember, man, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blade with the sharpest edges ever home. And now it's the home half of the seventh inning, and still the Chicago fans are on their feet in the old baseball custom. Nicholson is going to be the first hitter for Chicago in the last of the seventh. And lefty Hal Newhouser, who in this series has won one and lost one, and is trying to pitch the Tigers into the World's Championship in 1945 and doing pretty handsomely right now, is on the mound. And this young 24-year-old, who's a Detroit product all the way. Started his athletic career in Wilbur Wright High School at bat. One of the great stars in Tiger history this year is about to pitch to Nicholson. He does so, and Nicholson takes it. It's outside. Ball one. Bill Nicholson hasn't had a hit today. Fouled out once to the catcher, and the next time hit back to Newhouser on the mound. Swings on this one. There's a high foul up, coming back into the stand. Lands on the screen, and lazily rolls off. One ball, one strike. On Big Bill Nicholson.
No hits. It's a one-to-nothing ball game.
Nicholson has driven in seven runs so far in this series. That's more than anybody else.
There's a line pass early now with another delivery. That means the same thing. Other strikes hung all the way around.
Newhouser lets it go. It's high, and Nicholson fouls it off, reaching for a high three-quarter speed curveball. One ball, two strikes.
Now Newhouser working very well.
Nicholson's dark complexion. He has that menacing attitude at the plate that we've described to you so many times. Art Passarella, the plate umpire, goes out there and holds up the game for seven while some Tiger players in the bullpen down right field get off the field.
He was struck out.
Tannenbaum is ready to go, and here's the pitch. Nicholson swings on it. There's a bounding ball down to first. York has it. Tosses it underhand to Newhouser, who steps on first just ahead of Nicholson for the out.
It looked like the Darren
Nicholson was on 3-1.
And that's another rather smoothly executed play at first base by Rudy York. It's a defensive play in the series. It attracted a great deal of comment, and deservedly so, too, because Rudy, not generally known as a great fielding first baseman, has been very, very sharp here in the 7-game 1945 series.
Two balls, two strikes.
Now the batter is Mickey Livingston.
We're in the last half of the game here with Tigers.
Scoring GI, that's right-handed.
One out. 39-year-old veteran, and he has plenty of pressure on his shoulders right now.
The batter is pushing Roy Hughes. Like this a lot of friends down in Cincinnati.
The
pitch is long outside.
It may fall into a base hit.
Al Benson is now up and tossing the ball around and over to the Tigers. All sides, two balls, two strikes.
Out back of right field.
Livingston at first.
Rudy almost hit one.
Him and Hughes fouls it into the crowd down the right field line. Two strikes.
In case you just started this baseball in the sandlots of Cincinnati where he was born.
I believe that's the first walk today given up by Newhouser. And here comes Frank Sicori up to be a pinch hitter.
Opens his hand slightly toward first base.
Well, that's the second out of the
third. Sicori's coming up as a pinch hitter. This will be the fifth game in which Sicori has been used as a pinch hitter. And he has had two hits out of four times up. That gives him as a pinch hitter a 500 batting average. But nothing to be seen there. Now there are cup runners at first and second. There's only one out. Sicori, the right-handed batter, is standing in there. There's a curve that comes in and over for a ball strike.
Was hitting at 167.
Sorry, big athlete. The great big number 49 on his back. He's an outfielder.
One by one strike.
Comes from Fort Huron in the state of Michigan. He was born in Iowa.
And the bird comes right back.
Swing the ball with off strike two.
And the support ball hangs outside the ball two.
Newhouser in a big trouble there.
Most Tiger
in the last half of the seventh open. He's rubbing up the new ball very carefully.
Two strikes.
Now Sicori is ready to go again, and Newhouser has that ball rubbed up. He has two strikes on Sicori.
That's all for Mayo.
And there's a high curve right
now. He has three strikes on him. All three
strikes.
That was a very, very clever curveball that Newhouser hooked in there on the R2 pitch, and he got Sakoy, who was standing taking. That makes it two out. Smiling Stanley Camfield has to California, who's been one of the stars in this series. That's left-handed. This is both time up today, and he hasn't hit today. Although he has 11 hits so far. The pitch is close to him and inside. Ball one. Livingston at second with itchy feet. Hughes at first with his itch two. Pitch to Hank is high for ball two. Two and all the count.
That outfield move back to Greenberg.
And regardless of how this series turns out, there's a great figure in baseball at that place down there. Stan Hack. Now on that mound is a great young left-handed pitcher. He should have a magnificent career ahead of him.
Big hole in right field.
Stands deep.
Pitching here with very little rest today. There's a ball strike that he puts in on Hack. Third ball just above the knees. Nips the outside corner to the left-handed batter.
The shot on Richards now is 1-1.
Now Mayo tries to sneak behind Livingston at second, and the crowd warns him. Hack swings on that, but he goes to outlaw down at third. He steps on third, forcing Livingston to retire the side. Hack gets into a force out. Sakoy Livingston out at third to the first and third baseman, unassisted. So in the last half of the seventh inning, no runs for Chicago. One hit, two base runners left on. There were no Detroit errors. At the end of seven full innings of play, the score is Detroit 7, Chicago 2. Now when this crucial game ends this afternoon, stay tuned in for Bill Corum, the famous columnist of the New York Journal American Sports Stat. Here a brief reporter highlights today's baseball classic. Now while we're waiting for the start of operations in the top of inning number 8, let's take a little pause here at 10 seconds for station identification. Remember, men, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever home. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Revenue Blue Wave in Chicago, serving in the
middle. Now at the end of inning number 7, Al has our total scores here. Detroit 7 runs, 8 hits, 1 error. Chicago 2 runs, 6 hits, and no errors. And now coming into pitch for Chicago in the top of the 8th inning is Claude Passau. Passau's been, as you know, one of the great figures in this series. Pitching up in Detroit, one of the most perfect games ever held in the World Series. Passau, appearing in his third game, has pitched 15 and two-thirds innings. He's given up 6 hits, he has struck out 3, and he has walked 7. And he is credited with 1 victory and no defeats in this series. And he failed to come through down here. He was out, and the Cubs went ahead and won the ball game, so he was not credited with a defeat. Or debited, rather, with a defeat. First batter he faces is Jimmy Webb, the right-handed hitting shortstop in Detroit. Passau pitches to him, low and inside. And Claude is working out there with a badly split fingernail on his left hand when he flagged down a hot line drive the other day, which is characteristic of Passau.
Two outs in the top of the fourth, and Hank Greenberg...
Well, fouls that one off. It's a high pop-up coming back into the stand. One ball, one strike. Now down in the bullpen for Chicago is Brooklyn's Bob Chipman, a lefty.
And it's a strikeout for the left. One run off the line is out of there.
1-1 is the count that the sturdy, tongue-up farmer from Mississippi, Passau, has on the driving. Now it's down to 2-1 because that pitch like that with Passau was too high. So all
three. 3.5-3, the score stands, Tigers 6.
Well, it got up to damage now in the first inning. Is not.
Really, I like to watch it.
Passau worked on the short wind-up.
Yes,
Webb taking high ball 3. 3-1.
Steve counts for plenty and shaving too.
When it's going to cross steps up to the Cubs now to try to get these Tigers out of here just as rapidly as possible, and then come back in the 2 innings of the regulation length of the left in Chicago. You will think you can do about this 5-run
deficit.
What's more, here's the pitch.
Like it's a barrel of water.
It's a barrel of water.
It's a barrel of water.
So let it walk.
Yes, the left brush is soft.
Just a second walk.
Here's what I
has gotten in the series.
Lubricate your brain.
That's the eighth man you've met.
Whisk him off with today's electricity speed and comfort.
Now the best fuel in Gillette Mayo has one hit out of 4 times up today.
Six
to 27 in the series.
Gillette Brush will hold abundant moisture and stay wet on you. Off of the last half of any number four.
Eddie took his left leg away from an inside pitch. Small one.
But every stage row follows coming up for him, working together at bat, they give you the slump chance of your life. Ask your dealer for Gillette.
He's over one. He's over the time. They can have a well. Being held on at first by Caporetto.
Let Sal out on the mound. Make shots.
He's up in there delivery.
Use Gillette Blue Blade. He's
down
the
left field line.
Little Larry gets down. Gets a double handful.
The ball is rolling to the corner. It's being chased by Larry.
G.I. waves up that
back. Webb around third. Coming on in to score. And holding up second for the double is Mayo.
One ball, one strike. Got themselves 5 runs on 4 hits. 3 hits coming off Roy and one. Then it works again. Coming off the Larry swings up there. The ball going out of the right center field. Gone over the ball. Then it's coming back quickly. Coming in first for the out. So right center field. And Roy Cullenbine. Trooped in front of Duck Kramer to make the play
out. Swing fouls it off.
That's one away in the last 4th inning. For the Chicago Cubs.
Eddie Mayo, who was doubled just a moment ago, drove in last from first after the Cubs walk. And his double was his 7th.
He's coming up now. That's Mayo, leading the ball out ahead of single in the first inning. Right field.
Doc Kramer swings on that one. On the ground. And Don Johnson, second. Johnson follows it, picks it up, throws the first in time.
Max had 11 hits for 25
out of the ballgame. Throwing the ball away from him. He reached up in the air with his right hand, plucked it out of the air, threw it to first to get Kramer. Mayo going to third on the play. One out. The runner at third. Score 8-2 in favor of Detroit. And this good goes to the crowd. Greenberg comes to the plate.
Doc Kramer picks it up on the third. Skip. He fires it in.
Big Hank.
The second baseman. That strikeout number one. On with a solid hit.
Greenberg has walked twice, sacrificed once, and struck out once. This is the fifth time at the plate in this ballgame.
Stands here at Chicago.
Pitch it close to him and a little bit high. Ball one.
Takes a look at the first pitch and it's a high curve.
And Detroit partisans here, and their numbers are not the one,
back in the first inning,
are shouting for Hank to get a hit. They'd like to see him slug that long ball.
There's a fly ball to center. Doc Kramer goes back to the
left. Castell is walking around on the mound, kicking some dirt out of the way.
Here comes Kramer, moving into third. Scotty Kramer's waving him on in. Here comes the start of the plate.
Castell, the fifth pitcher for Chicago, known by his name, P-A-S-S-E-A-U. Here's the pitch. Greenberg swings on it, slices it out of the left field. And Lowry comes in and makes a sensational running catch on it. There's the throw to the plate as Eddie Mayo comes in to score easily with run number 9. Mayo had to go back to third and touch up. Lowry came in, made a running catch on that line drive of Greenberg's out into left field, retiring Greenberg, but Mayo was speedy on his feet, came in to score run number 9 for Detroit. That makes it 2 out. Nobody on. 2 runs in here at the top of the 8th, and he got up to Cullenbine. Cullenbine, who has been walked 8 times in this series, steps up there and falls off the first pitch from Pascal. Strike one.
For one.
So the road becomes steeper for the Cubs.
Johnson with a double.
Passo delivers a little high. Cullenbine taking it for ball one. One ball, one strike.
Now a 6-2 ball game. Al delivers and Nicholson.
Cullenbine has struck out and strolled 3 times in this game. Another pitch to him is high again for ball two.
Good. That's a count out right now.
Big Roy, who got off to a slow start in the series, come through in fair fashion. He has 5 hits out of 21 times up.
Swings on up, and there's a towering high infield pop up back on the grass under this Johnson now at second, and he takes it for the out.
There's one out for Chicago here in the fourth.
That retires the side for Detroit in the top of the 8th inning. 2 runs on 1 hit. With no base runners left on. And with no Chicago error. So at the end of 7.5 innings of play, the score is Detroit 9, Chicago 2. Well, it was Joe Cronin, famous for his affable way and his ready smile, who said earlier today that in his experience, no other shaving combination compares with the Gillette Razor and Gillette Blue Blade. Now I might add that in the Army and in the Navy, on land, on sea, and in the air, it's the Gillette Razor and Gillette Blue Blade by overwhelming odds.
naturally so. For the Gillette Blue Blade and the Gillette Razor are made for each other in the same factory, by the same skilled craftsmen, to the same high precision standard. Yes, today's Gillette Blue Blade and your Gillette Razor are the perfectly matched shaving combination. They fit exactly, work together beautifully, and turn in the smoothest performance known in shaving. Remember, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blade with the sharpest edges ever held. Now the home half of the eighth inning. And again, Hal Newhouse returns to the mound. And again, young Prince Harris will work that left arm of his.
Throws it over to first.
And he has been, despite the fact that he got off in series to a faltering start in losing that first game at Detroit. He has been in a series after the season the main pitching half of the Detroit side. And Newhouse out there today.
And
it's a big just a couple of days left. And now he faces Don Johnson, second baseman. Johnson swings on that one as a high foul field back into the stands. Strike one on Don. Johnson got a double his first time up in inning number one. Rounded out in the third inning and struck out in the last time up in inning number six.
Tune in Gillette's Sports Friday nights.
In the newspaper, it is a low into the dirt on the inside. Ball one. And there one strike.
Off you, Houser.
And young Newhouse, this year won 25 games against 9 losses for Detroit. Last year he won 29 against 9 losses. He's sitting here this afternoon for his second World Series victory of the Detroit Tigers. Now he gets that ball. Ready to go. The 1-1 pitch to Johnson.
So
it's high, ball two. Two balls, one strike.
Over one.
Short.
No hits and one strike.
That goes
five
hit. Johnson zips his bat, swings on the small one, half
balance,
and fouls it off. Two
balls,
two strikes. Now Hank Wise is lining up in the bullpen for Chicago.
And Castro hit one down to Skeeter Webb at short. He played it very
Newhouser taking more and more time with each batting pitch. As the game goes on and on into its final stanza. That pitch is low into the dirt. Ball three on Don Johnson.
Chicago scores one time here in the last out on Rudy York. One run on two hits.
Looks down at O'Neill behind third. These balls are handled carefully. Watch their manager.
And there was one
of activity in the bullpen of the Tigers now, too.
The score stands.
Benson and Robin Mann. Johnson swings on that one foul. On the ground outside of third base.
One ball, two strikes. Paul Derringer.
9-2 the score stand. And every loyal Chicago fan, who do we see here as we move into the last half of the eighth? There's a 3-2 pitch to Johnson. He swings on it, slaps it down to shortstop. It's taken on the first bounce by Skeeter Webb. The throw to York in time. Johnson's out by two strides.
Look sharp. Feel sharp. Be sharp.
Peter Webb's played a pretty snappy brand of baseball in this series. And guilty of only one error, and he's had more than his fair share of chances there. Now here's Peanuts Lowry. The former MP in the Army. Steps up there batting right-handed. 1-for-3 today. The delivery to him is high. Ball one.
Outfield immediately when Outlaw comes up there.
Lowry's had 8 hits in the series out of 28 times up. Takes Brandon a call strike.
Away in the fifth,
that was a downer and had a lot of stuff on it.
The swing at that one, but pulled up in time to take it low. Ball one. One ball and one strike. It's a count on third baseman Jimmy Outlaw.
That's inside that pitch. Ball two. Two balls, two strikes on Lowry. One out, nobody on in the last half of the eighth inning.
And it swung on and hit just over the outstretched fingertips of Hughes, not into left field for a base hit.
Hal Newhouser calmly working.
Singles right.
Lines up, left hands it in. It's swung on, blooped down the left field line. In comes Greenberg. He can't come up to it. It falls in for a hit for Lowry. And Lowry is on at first. That's his second hit of the afternoon. Left of him hit out there to Greenberg in left field. Now comes Cabaretta. That is the seventh hit off Newhouser. The 22nd hit off of him in the series. Bill Cabaretta, who's 2-for-3 this afternoon, steps up there. Dark complexion, good looking, very quiet. Pitch to him is on the inside for ball one.
They're flying spikes off Outlaw's slide under the peg and he's safe at second.
Roger works. Swung on by Cabaretta, and it's hit back on the ground into center field. Lowry is churning his way down to third, and Kramer fields the ball into second. Lowry is at third, Cabaretta at first. That was the third hit today for Cabaretta. Now here's Pascal, batting right-handed. He has a triple and three times up today. And the pressure is on Handy Andy. Swings on that one. It's a high foul coming back into the stand. Strike one on Pascal. And here's the kid from the farm country of Wisconsin, who with his five brothers used to get up in the morning an hour ahead of time so they could get their farm chores done and go out and play some Pascal baseball. And here he is with his team behind at bat, with a chance to strike a great blow for his team, the Chicago Cubs, here in the eighth inning of the deciding game of this 45 World Series. Swings on that one, hits it on the ground, foul, outside at third base. Score is 9-2 with Detroit in front. These Cubs, they're not through yet. Newhouser carefully rubbing up a new ball. Two strikes quickly on Pat, though he's fouled off two of them. The pitcher swung on, he strikes out. Newhouser struck out Papko twice in a row with men on bases. And for Newhouser, that is strikeout number 8. In the series, it's his 20th strikeout. That makes it 2 out now for Chicago in the last of the 8. And still, Cabaretta's at first and Lowry at third. And here's Nicholson. Nicholson hasn't hit today. Hasn't gotten the ball out of the infield. Takes an outside pitch for ball 1. Nicholson, who has batted in 7 runs, more than anybody else in the series. There, batting left-handed, swings on one. There's a high, towering foul off to the right of the plate. Richards goes over to the stands, but it's going into the stands. That's a strike on Nicholson. One ball, one strike on Bad Bill.
The batter now is Kyle Newhouse.
Nicholson, the big fella from down in Chesterton, Maryland. Fella who was a kid, wanted to go to the United States Naval Academy at Annapolis. But colorblindness kept him out. So he went to Washington College instead, graduated, and here he is a Major League Baseball star. 1-1 on him. That pitch is down a little bit low into the dirt. I think he foul tipped it. Not sure. Foul tip hit Richards on the hand, and Richards is trotting over toward the dugout of the Tigers, and there will be time call now. Yep, Nicholson foul tipped that one just slightly off of his bat, and it caught Richards on the hand, his right hand, and he promptly ran over toward the dugout, and I think that that will be all for Richards. I believe Bob Swift is being waved in from the bullpen. So Richards has apparently hurt a finger on his throwing hand. And just to keep Newhouser warm, here comes Jimmy Wilson, I think. See who that is coming out to warm him up. Young Jimmy Miller, who it is, coming out to keep Newhouser warm as Bob Swift gets the tools of catching on. And he's coming in here as Richards is injured in the last half of the eighth inning. That's too bad for Paul.
Now, most stores have this left check in stock right now. And you'll probably find one where you trade. So,
one ball, two strikes to count on the batter, Nicholson. He's batting in the clutch for Chicago in the last half of the eighth as these Cubs try to stay in the running. Cabaretta's at first, Lowry is at third. Now Steve O'Neill is walking out of the dugout of the Tigers and back to his spot, approaching behind third. And that'll be all in this series for Paul Richards. Richards has certainly done himself very handsomely in the series. Today he has driven in 4 runs, and this the 7th and deciding ball game, for a total of 6 runs batted in the series. He's had 2 doubles today, which gives him 4 hits out of 19 times up in the series. He was walked 4 times, and he struck out 3 times. That's a record of accomplishment on the part of Paul Richards that stamps him as a tremendous asset to the Tigers in this very, very thrilling 1945 series. And Steve O'Neill has stopped on his way back to third now to say a few words to his son-in-law, Skeeter Webb, who plays at shortstop. Jolly Charlie Grimm, with his team trailing by 4 runs, is cutting up capers galore. Now O'Neill seems to have inspected everything, and he's going back to the Tiger dugout.
He swings, and now that's it.
Strike one. One ball he was on in Salina, Kansas. He said he thought up away a couple of weeks ago in a place called Tip, Kansas.
62 of the Tigers are out
family, and now they're down in Salina.
The best of
their
pitchers
are looking mighty keen, which is a small town outside of Salina, Kansas.
These Cubs are fighting back.
You know how it works?
As we mentioned
it's before.
Walks away from the plate, and Charlie Grimm comes walking in from third. And he's not happy now.
Switching to Swift now. Swift is taking his
was throw
down
ball.
Second. Now he grabs the
outside corner. Now Hughes and Passarella have got themselves a bit of a rondelay on down there. Hughes is sticking his chin out at Passarella.
Here's the situation.
There are two outs in the
last Lowry is in the third. Cabaret is at first. They both hit Newhouser. Now he's picking that up again.
One ball, two strikes. On the mound, Hal Newhouser.
Now the left-handed side around like a windmill.
Again, he's stuck out of Newhouser.
Good ball, ready to go
on outside. Ball two.
Pitch to Hughes, it's inside.
Ball two.
Ball two balls, two outs, two on.
And a derisive roar from the crowd, who disagreed with the call on that last pitch.
1-2 now on Roy Hughes.
Nicholson swings on it, and it's foul on the ground down the first base line.
Here it is.
Count makes it, and it's foul strike three.
And Hughes is sore again.
But he's out of there.
So Detroit had the lead in
9-2. Hughes struck out in this ball game.
This game like all baseball games,
that's one of the thrilling aspects
of
the
American last time.
Is not over until the last
hitter coming up.
Nobody is saying that to him.
Place
him
right hand in Nicholson at the plate now.
Swings on one, drops it out to center field, it's good for him.
Right-handed.
Trying to right of Freeman. Lowry has already scored.
Cabaretta
is rounding third
game,
and holding up third. Nicholson's in the second with a double.
A curveball that whipped in and over.
Sours an outfielder by Drake, and he hails from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
The right-handed batter.
Cabaretta was held up at third as that ball was retrieved.
Down low into the
left. Field by Dr. Raymond hooked in. Kramer has a pretty good throwing arm.
Now,
Cabaret is at third. One run is
crossed.
The score is 9-3, and the batter is Mickey Livingston.
That pitch is high. The ball two.
That's the eighth run batted in this series for Nicholson, and it ties him for a seven-game series record with Gus Gosin of Washington, who batted in 8 runs in 24, and Al Simmons of the A's, who hit in 8 runs in 1931. Of course, in a four-game series, Garing in 28 drove in 9. Now there's a swinging strike by Mickey Livingston.
He's missing here behind the catcher.
Livingston batting right
hand. Two strikes.
1-3 today. He has driven in 4
the next
runs.
Next pitcher will either be Passo or Erickson, I believe.
21 times
they both seem to be working out down there.
The pitch is good for a call strike. Livingston started for it, checked his swing, and Art Passarella calls it a strike.
Now a new ball put in play. Newhouser has it rubbed up.
So it's two strikes on Livingston. Runners at second and third.
It's a little too high.
Chicago, two outs.
Makes it ball three for a full count on Stars.
Trying to rally. Newhouser pitches.
There have been more punches that have used in this series than
one.
One
ball, two strikes.
All baseball history.
Here it is. Sauer swings, strikes out. Discharged GI was in the Army ground.
Strikeout number four for Newhouser.
Two outs in some baseball.
He's out of
Chicago in the last half of the customer. Swings, strikes out.
And now the leadoff hitter, Stanley Newhouser,
whips through his third batting around the ball game to retire the side in the last half of the eighth inning.
Stanley has been turned back to two previous appearances
in Chicago. On three hits, two base runners left on. There were no Detroit errors. So the score at the end of 8 full innings of this thrilling seventh all starting game of the 45 series.
Newhouser seems to be getting sharper and sharper as this game wears
along. Chicago 3. Well, you can't afford to miss Bill Corum's highlights.
Here comes
the swing ball.
There's a ground ball to show.
Stay tuned in.
Scoops it out of the
air. Great reporter. Just right off the cup. Just as soon as the last hand is out in this game here at Wrigley Field.
So in the last fifth inning, there's nothing across for the Chicago Cubs. And the score at the end of 5 full innings of play is Detroit 6 and Chicago 2. And I believe it's big blonde Paul Erickson who's coming in to be the next pitcher for the Cubs. We'll wait till he's officially announced. He's taking the stride in, though, from out there in left field where the bullpen is located. And while Erickson is coming to the mound to complete his warm-up pitches and to appear as the fourth pitcher this afternoon for the Chicago Cubs, let's pause here 10 seconds for station identification. Remember, men, look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades with the sharpest edges ever honed. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is WGN Chicago serving the Midwest.